819.
Talk shoes. Recorded live.
819. This is Gangster Bolshevist Broadcasting.
Yes, it is. Tell Fitz to get in here. I see Fitz. What the fuck is that?
You gotta piece that out, boy.
The national anthem.
Oh, is that Canada?
I don't know. It's the Gangster Bolshevik national anthem.
Yeah, well, that's enough of that.
Yo, Jakob.
Good evening. It's April the 28th, and it's 8 o'clock Central Time. This is Gangster Bolshevik Broadcasting, and I'm with Metal Gear and Apollonian, a Texas-based theologian. How are you guys doing tonight, comrades?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing great. You know, I'm really happy that I got this talk show worked out, and everything is, is working now. I had this little problem, and the only problem was I was using Internet Explorer instead of Google Chrome, and everything it's all been working.
I see Fitz. I don't know if Fitz knows that we're on the air, but I see like Fitz was on the 4.co. Like, so I ain't near a computer, but if anybody is, you might want to tell Fitz.
Okay. Well.
Yeah.
Everything sounds like it's okay. Clancy was giving me some feedback before the recording. He said he could hear everything fine. So let's get started. So, Apollonian, what do you want to get to first? I think maybe we should talk about the Federal Reserve since we have, we've got Metal Gear on here. And we've got Apollonian, and we had some really good conversation last week about the Federal Reserve, and it wasn't recorded, so we can kind of go over that again. So, Apollonian, please explain why you believe the Federal Reserve is a total fraud and is being used against us to destroy society.
Okay, well, why the Federal Reserve is the key, it's the crux, to our culture. See, mm-hmm. Our culture has been taken over by these criminals,
exactly.
You know, and that's why everything is just turning into pure excrement, stinking,
mm-hmm.
filthy excrement. And, you know, the people are being poisoned, literally, by, these poisonous food additives like aspartame and GMO foods and, fluoride in the water and
mm-hmm.
even radiation. And anyway, the Federal Reserve, YI, is a counterfeiting scam. That's what gives them all their power.
Exactly.
They buy and extort all the politicians, all the judges. They own all the large corporations and many of the smaller ones too.
Oh, yeah.
They own the mass corporate news media, Jews media as we call it.
Mm-hmm.
And they control all the establishment churches, Catholic and Protestant,
mm-hmm.
by means of practically infinite money, infinite funding.
Mm-hmm.
That's why, why I here in the U.S., it's like, 80% of the people are against illegal immigration. Yet,
yeah.
The scummy politicians keep making it easy, for our land to be invaded. And,
yeah.
The obvious answer is because they're being paid,
mm-hmm.
paid and extorted. Once you bribe someone, the guy's subject to blackmail ever after that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that counterfeiting scam is the key. It is the key instrument of this ongoing criminal conspiracy, you see, and if we can only remove that, Federal Reserve instrument, we essentially cut the head off of the snake, and the rest of it is just mopping up. Now, as you may know, as you may remember, why, last week we had the comment, there's still other stuff underlying that. Well, of course. We already knew that. Human beings are sinners subject to corruption. But that's not an excuse for not taking care of this criminal enterprise. We absolutely must remove it, bring these people to trial and give them swift and humane executions. These people are behind the, mass genocide that just went on in Libya and in Iraq, where in Iraq they've killed over 1 million poor civilians who never attacked us, mm-hmm. So that's why it's key. It's the crux of why, we've got to attack and destroy the Federal Reserve, and the way we do it, why, is by explaining to all our fellow citizens what it is. See, most people, they think it's something mysterious or complicated,
yeah.
But what it is very simple. It's a counterfeiting scam, see?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's exactly like with these, these so-called truth tellers, and they're always looking for conspiracy theories when there's no conspiracy to this. It's plain as day. It's like with the New World Order. Under George Bush Sr., he'd openly talk about it. He'd talk about it in his speeches. There'd be none of this Illuminati talk or Zionist-owned government. It was a straight-out, clear-as-day, the New World Order. We are going to establish a one-world government and one-world currency. And, to me, it's always has been common sense. How do you keep track of all this paper money you're printing? How can anyone know how much is out there? All you got to do is hit a machine, print out notes, and say you have a bunch of gold to back that up, but who's going to actually go and weigh all that gold, in the Federal Reserve? And one thing that I've heard a lot about is this moving it to Ron Paul is moving it to the silver, and I don't really understand that. So if you could explain that to me, possibly his
What is that again? What was your question again?
Ron Paul, he's been, talking about abolishing the Federal Reserve and replacing it with a silver standard or something along those lines.
Oh, well, he wants either gold or silver. You can have both, mm-hmm. Doesn't matter. As long as it's got to be a commodity.
Yeah.
It's something that you've got to, that you can trade on the market that has its own intrinsic value.
Yeah,
so that it's limited.
Capitalism, yeah, exactly.
It can't just be paper that you add zeros to make the numbers bigger.
Mm-hmm.
That's
totally, you're quite right on that. And I remember last week, you telling me about the Rothschilds, the Vatican actually putting the Rothschilds in charge of their finances. And in the past week, I've actually decided where I'm going to break away from the Roman Catholic Church and join the Society of St. Pius X, because they, they openly talk about stuff like the Jewish infiltration, the communist infiltration, Freemasonry taking over the Vatican, and really, Catholicism is no longer being taught by the Vatican. The Pope is a heretic, and it's a lot of their stuff. I've been listening to their sermons, and, it just really speaks to me. It's, the sermon I was just listening to the day, the guy was talking exactly a lot of the stuff he talked about, how you cannot just have faith alone. There has to be truth. And that basically was the whole sermon, 18 minutes long. But I was like, wow, this is exactly what Apollonian's always talking about, and this is a Society of St. Pius X priest, giving almost the exact same kind of homily, and it's really... it really shows that you know what you're talking about. And
why faith means loyalty, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you got to have something that you're loyal to, right?
Exactly. Yeah,
so
faith
just
alone
saying,
is not enough. Faith alone. But all these bams are type, Protestants and all these beer barrel homos. They're all like, faith is the major tenets of Christianity. That's all that, Christianity is about, is putting your faith in something. But you could put your faith in a false god, and that false god can proclaim to be the, you know, Jesus Christ, but he's not the real Jesus Christ that we follow. He's just a false god that, you know, saying, oh, I'm the resurrection. But we obviously know the true Christ is the one that we worship, and we know that, you know, he's not some, you know, free-range mamzer heretic that's just going to appear on the internet and, you know, well, oh, hey, I'm, you know, Jesus Christ. You know, he came 2,000 years ago. He died for our sins, and the Jews put him to death, and the Jews have their blood on their hands. And that's why, you know, anti-Semitism is one of the foremost tenets of real Christianity. You cannot have real Christianity without anti-Semitism, because simply the Jews asked for God, you know, they asked for God to send, you know, in a human form. He did that. You know, the Pontius Pilate said, you know, I don't want to execute this guy. If I execute him, his blood is on your hands. They wanted his blood on their hands. And now Pope Benedict the 16th, the heretic, you know, thinks that he can take away the blood libel. And I was hearing my priest go on about this bullsh crap on a Good Friday. You know, there's prayers for the Jews and for the Muslims, two of the Semitic people, that they have their special relationship with God continue to grow. And that's totally anti-Catholic. You know, maybe, like, I consider Christianity to be Catholicism. You know, you can't really separate them. The kind of the Christianity other people follow that isn't Catholic, it's kind of a false Christianity. So, yeah, a lot of what you're saying is totally true. It's really disgusting to see that, you know, the church is starting to cave into the Jews, because, frankly, that's one of the last, the church was one of their last big, basically, what's the word, roadblocks, you know, to a world domination. And now that's going down, and, you know, we're up shit creek, kind of, so we've got to really do something here.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. Why I? Oh. Okay. Is there someone else?
I'm here. I'm listening. But you know, I'm a hardline like materialist atheist. So I'll let you guys take this conversation.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Totally. You know, we respect that though. You know, we respect how you give us a place to talk about the truth of Christianity, and that's why we really are. You know, we're something to. You know, we're something to be scared of. You know, we're out here on the forefront of, you know, the revolution, and the beer barrel and this whole circle of crust, they're obviously been frightened. We've outed a lot of them, you know.
Well, why, you know, Christianity entails truth, and
exactly.
That truth entails reason and logic and science, and, you know, reason, logic, and science, that entails materialism, you know, matter and energy.
Yeah,
I mean,
it
doesn't exclude materialism.
Mm-hmm.
We're for truth against lies.
Mm-hmm.
And foremost liars, the most organized liars in all of history, were the Pharisees.
Yeah.
And they still are the Pharisees. And
mm-hmm.
they wrote the Talmud.
Yeah.
And the Talmud is the main document which is followed by the Jews,
yeah.
you know, the religious Jews. And
oh, yeah,
unfortunately... Huh?
Well, a lot of them don't like to admit that, but yes, they—that is. Their...
Yeah, they're liars. They don't want. They don't ever want to admit the truth.
Oh yeah,
they
permits
even...
them in the Talmud to lie to Gentiles, you know, to goyim. It says, you know, like you're basically allowed to kill goyim. You're allowed to have them as your slaves. You're allowed. They're put on this earth as human animals. You know, animals
yeah,
and human
flesh. Yeah, they're at war with all humanity,
mm-hmm.
and they say that God has told them to do that, to be at war with all the Gentiles,
mm-hmm.
and to make the Gentiles follow their stinking, filthy Talmudic religion. And, you know, what is their stinking, filthy religion? It's a war against humanity.
Pretty
which
much,
puts,
yeah.
Which puts Jews at the top. And then, you know, why, like we were discussing last week, the funny thing is that there's the top Jews, and they put lower level Jews also, you know, as their henchmen.
Yeah,
they lie to their own people, their
exactly.
own Jews.
Yeah.
And not only that, They lie to themselves, even. They worship lies, lies, lies.
Yeah, that's one of the main things of Zionism that they need, is they need Jewish victims. If they don't have Jewish victims, then how can they play the victim card? You've got to have victims. So that's why they sell out the lower Jews, and then, you know, they threaten them. Well, you're not a Jew, you know, like, who are you? You're not one of us. And then when they want to believe the Talmudic filth, then that's, again, then all of a sudden it's like, well, you're a good Jew again, you know, welcome back to the tribe. But
it's, what you're saying is very consistent with Marxist theory, actually, the whole idea of there being a small group ruling class taking advantage of people underneath them. Like, is pretty much the key of Marxist theory.
Yeah, well, it seems like a lot of Marxism has been, just exploited for, the people have exploited it for their own benefits, just like they exploit the Bible for their own benefits. So,
cultural Marxists, like what they say, a lot of people who are really liberals call themselves Marxists, and I think that's the biggest problem.
Mm-hmm. It's like a lot of people call themselves Christians, and they aren't, they don't follow Christianity, so that's our problem too. So that's why we can kind of join together and wipe these people out, maybe not wipe them out, just deport them to another place, you know, deport them to the moon, you know, get the Newt Gingrich, we're gonna take the moon, and we can just send, we'll have a whole Mamzer state up on the moon.
Well, you know why we're at war with lies, and you know we're never going to completely win because humans are always going to be sinners.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like cyclical, you know. We'll fight back a little bit and we'll win a little bit, but then you know it'll come back like it always does. You know, it's a cyclical type of a course.
Oh yeah, we got to remember this isn't the first time in history that things have been really messed. But you know, the true church has always prevailed in the end. You know, but this seems like probably in the church's history, though, this is one of the worst times. But I really believe in the end, the true church will prevail because good, honest Christians like you and me, we refuse to accept the crap coming out of the people that's claimed to represent the church. So therefore, good Catholics like you and me, reject the current papacy and the Vatican at the moment because they don't want to espouse Catholic beliefs or Catholic teachings. So therefore, as good Catholics, we reject them. And if they want to start teaching real Catholic doctrine again one day, then maybe we'll accept them again. But at the time, it's a lost cause. Therefore, as real Catholics, we have to... just stop recognizing the Vatican as an authority because, frankly, they're a bunch of pedophiles and, liars. Like, there's this Sister Lucia of Fatima. Apparently, she was I've seen the pictures, and she was replaced by an imposter. And her third secret is three secrets she had. The first two were revealed, but the third, the Vatican would not reveal. And then John Paul II revealed it, and it was basically, it sounded like, oh, one of the popes is going to be assassinated. And, the day after John Paul II someone attempted to assassinate him, suddenly after all this time, he reveals the third secret that was, it was sealed. And he's like, oh, it was one of the popes is going to be assassinated or attempted to be assassinated. And, yeah, it happened to me yesterday, so that's what her secret was. But I've actually discovered that Pope Paul VI was another one that they thought was replaced by an imposter. He was assassinated or poisoned and replaced by an imposter. And basically in 1972, Pope Paul VI stated that Satan has infiltrated the Catholic Church. And when you look at how everything's gone downhill, it totally makes sense. But, I think in the end, the church has gone through a lot of stuff before, and it will prevail in the end because there's good Catholics like the Society of St. Pius X that, basically say, fuck you, we're not going to recognize the Jesus, God's chosen people, and, we're not going to recognize fags as... Christians or Catholics, where my he's pretty much my former priest. You know, I'm pretty much stopping to go there, but he just pushed the fag agenda a bit too much for my comfort, and I'm right now on the air, recorded. I am going to say that within the next 10 years, you will see your first openly fag Roman Catholic priest ordained in the priesthood.
Well, Jakob, I actually went to a Catholic school growing up, believe it or not. I studied a lot of religion, actually. Mm-hmm. And they're pretty, like, you might be happy to know that they've stuck to the doctrine pretty good. I've learned replacement theology, like basically the idea that Jews used to be the chosen people and now they're not. Taught in Catholic schools. I've learned that homosexuality is wrong and stuff like that. And of course, I reject the religion, although that doesn't mean I reject everything it teaches.
But it's changed a lot in the last, 10 years. Maybe back when you were younger, shit was cool, but now just recently in the States, up until maybe 5 years ago, they had Catholic schools still that were all white. You know, segregation is still happening in private Catholic schools, and that's been wiped out finally. You know, so pretty much
there's no segregation, but I think that the doctrine was there was nobody was teaching that Jews were the chosen people or anything like that, or that homosexuality was okay.
No, that's just starting to happen now, time. It's Joseph Ratzinger, stated in his book, they've been cleared of the blood libel, and the priest, he was preaching that on Good Friday, and, he's been preaching a lot that, who are you to judge if someone's gay? God makes everyone in his specific plan for them, and, how can God do that if it's, according to church doctrine? And I've read the Catechism of the Catholic faith, the Vatican II one, and it states in there, fags are born fags, and it's okay that they're fags, but they're just not expected to have sexual relationships, so it's just kind of we recognize fags and, that they're okay, but at the same time, it's just this impossible standard you give to them that they can't follow, so why would they want to be part of that church? So it's just frankly, homosexuality is a sin, and if you want to be a homo, I don't know why you'd want to follow. I don't know why you'd want to be a Christian, why would you not reject Christianity if it told you that you were evil? That's one of the things I do not understand.
Well, it tells all people that they're evil to an extent, but I still see what you're saying pragmatically.
Yeah, exactly.
Got to remember that it never was the Jews who were chosen, because Jews, by definition, are the followers of the Pharisees and who today follow the Talmud. It was the Israelites who were the chosen people, not Jews.
Mm-hmm.
Even during the time of Christ, the followers of the Pharisees only made up about 5 to 15% of the Judeans of that time. You've got to be careful about distinguishing Jews from Judeans and, the Israelites.
Mm-hmm.
Only the Israelites were the chosen people.
Mm-hmm.
The Jews, they separated themselves off, following the Pharisees. By definition, the Pharisees are the separated ones, because they're holy, they're special, And so you got to be careful about, making that distinction. And we Christians don't replace the Jews. The Jews took themselves out. They made themselves God unto themselves. And so, Christ cursed them. They are serpents, ye vipers. How can you escape damnation? Christ told them. They are the sons of Satan. And Satan was a liar from the beginning, because he has no truth in him. And his work ye will do. That's what Christ said when he was talking to, the Pharisees in Gospel of John.
What is Apollonian? Are you Christian identity or are you traditional?
Well, I was brought up Catholic.
Okay, I'm just curious. So, like, do you when you say sons of Satan, are you like Pastor Linderset when you literally believe that they're sons of Satan, or
do
you mean that?
That's a good point. That's a good subject that you bring up, because I wanted to bring that up. Linstead, you know what he is? He's nothing but a Jew. He wants to make himself out to being, you know, the new chosen people, the white people. He can't even define white, except he says, oh, well, these are the so-called Israelites who escaped into Europe and, you know, became the Saxons and this and that, which you can't even prove. It's all a bunch of pure stupid bullshit, you know. And he says, oh, we human beings have, or at least, you know, the Israelites, his people, oh, we have perfect free will, which is totally stupid, because only God has a perfectly free will, you see? I mean, we are sinners. We can't help but to sin. We follow our interest. You know, we're creatures of will.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we don't have a perfectly free will. We can't help but to be sinful and to follow our interests.
Yeah,
and that's the problem with these stupid Christian identity people. They make themselves out to be Jews. You know, they don't oppose the Jews. They just want to replace the Jews. They just want to take the Jews' place. Those scum. And, you know, so, you know, that's the problem with Linstead. You know, aside from being a stupid, brainless liar who says he's descended from these Israelites who probably never even existed. I mean, there's no archaeological proof that any Israelites ever existed. You know, they're nothing but creatures of fiction, you know, creatures of mythology, so far as we know.
Mm-hmm. The thing that always fascinated me is when Jesus came in the New Testament, he comes and he's there to gather the 10 lost tribes. So already 10 tribes have been lost in the Judea region or whatever, where Jesus of Nazareth came. So he, in his words, he says he's got come to gather the 10 lost tribes. So that I've just, in my head, I've always figured, well, the 10 lost tribes must have gone other places around the world. And so, you know, there is no definitive proof, but I guess it's one of those things where it comes down to a bit of faith, but really, it's nothing that I argue about too much. It's
basically, we are followers of Christ who is truth.
Mm-hmm.
And we're loyal to truth. And so, you know, you gotta follow what truth implies. Truth implies that there's an objective reality, right? Because how can we say something's truth unless we have a criterion by which to, you know, prove it.
It's basically a subjective theory, then, the Israelite thing. It's a subjective theory, not objective.
Right. If I say the sun is out shining, okay, well, the truth of that is that there really is a sun, and it's really out shining, and anybody can see it for themselves. It's an objective reality.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we're followers of truth. We follow the objective reality, which is, you know, created by God, you know, assuming that there is a God. You can't prove
that. Well, we're not assuming there is a God, you know. Or else
well,
we can't
prove that there is no God,
we can,
right?
But that's where the faith of Christianity comes in, is, you know, we choose to believe that, because without a God, then you cannot have Christianity, and you cannot have Jesus. So...
Right, but why my logical point is that cannot prove that there is no God, right?
Oh, I understand that totally. You can't prove
it. You know what I hate? I hate people like Starr who pretend, who like admit that there's no, in their view, that they don't believe in religion, yet they say they're cultural Christians and they're going to like pretend to be Christian. Like, if you don't believe there's a God, then to be an atheist like me.
Yeah, exactly. Star is Kristen Jennings, I should say, is a fucking cracked out whore or something that's just desperate for attention, and she'll just, you know, give lip service, suck virtual cock to get some internet rep. And it's
Believe and be Christian. If you don't believe, then don't. But don't pretend to be a Christian.
Yeah, exactly.
When you don't
like, what's cultural Christianity? That's a heresy. in itself. But that's
there's a logical problem with atheism, though, because in atheism, you say that there is no God, as if you can prove that, but you cannot prove that there is no God.
Yeah.
You're right that you could argue that you can't. Of course, I believe it, but you're right that I couldn't prove it to you.
You can say that there's no evidence for a God, and that you thereby presume that there is no God. But if by atheism you mean that there is no God, well, that's a false statement because you cannot prove that. You see,
you can say
that you presume that there is no God, but you know that's just a presumption. You can't say that you can prove that there is no God. That's the distinction I'm trying to make here.
I see. Yeah.
But
it's my belief that even if there, so let's say I'm wrong and there was a God, in my opinion, all the texts and Gospels and Korans and religions are fake. Even if there was a God, I still think all the religions are man-made.
Yeah, well, I guess it's
right. That's fair.
Yeah, it's a subjective statement. We choose to believe, and it's free will. And I guess I'd rather have people that just admit they're not Christians than people pretending to be Christians that come and try to distort the faith. So that's what I respect about you, that you can just state, hey, I don't believe in it, and we can get along just fine, because I'm not going to try to push my beliefs on you, because it's just pointless, to me. It's like kicking a dead horse. It's just one of those things. But when you get someone who says they're a Christian and then you try, it's kind of like, well, no, you're not a Christian, buddy. And then, no, I'm a Christian, you're not a Christian. And it's like, well, okay.
They want to be part of the club, just for the social aspect. That's like a feminine way of acting.
Yeah.
Well, it's very convenient political position to take, because most of our people in Western civilization are Christian. So, if you want to, relate with your fellow human beings, that's a good political type of a position to take.
You're correct. I agree with you.
Yeah, look at that. You see that? That is gangster Bolshevist fucking miracles happening right now. We've got an atheist and a good Christian, and the atheist has just agreed the Christian is correct. This is why we have so much power, and this is why the barrel fucking literally, when Satan hits the light, the light is like the truth. That's like the beer barrel. When you fucking, present them with the truth, they just shrivel away, they're scared of the light. Like, oh my God, I got to get out of this
light.
They
shrivel away when they get hacked too.
Oh, yeah, they're fucking, Let's get into the beer barrel, I guess, for a bit. What's your opinion of the Buffoon's Burrow, Apollonian? They're fucking...
Like we discussed last week, you know what they are? They're a bunch of goddamn white niggers who let themselves be manipulated and led by the nose by these Jewy scum like G-Stink and Blutoid and Mr. Puke. And all they want to do, Y.I., is say the word nigger. I mean, I'm talking about the white niggers, Kitty the Boob and John Z. Niggy, that stupid white nigger.
Yeah.
And these dumbass Christian identity people, they want to say nigger, 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 nigger. That's about all they want to do,
Yeah, well, you can't just have, nigger, nigger, nigger. You got to have truth in there. Without truth, you're just, you're not really doing any good. Truth is definitely a powerful thing. And truth is objective. It's not subjective. So people that see the truth and can't accept it, they're, you know, they're actual, they're just actually, you know, morally impotent. Here we've got the good Baptists talking about good beer barrel members, and I'm just going to go ahead and say the only good beer barrel member is a dead beer barrel member, you know.
The only good bourgeois is a dead bourgeois. That's
yeah,
a Paul
yeah,
quote.
You know, beer barrel sitting at the bottom of a river, fucking in a beer barrel. That would be the best bet.
Well, you know, why I don't know if I'd go that far, you know, because they're just basically a bunch of dumbass, you know, scum. That's all.
Indubitably.
You know, I mean, they're not terribly bad. You know, it's just they're stupid scum. And
yep.
I would say the worst of them is Jew Stink,
yep.
Jew Stink, and Lutoid, and Mr. Puke. Those
yep.
those people love to lie. You know.
And you didn't like El Ragno either last time.
No, El Ragno
yeah,
is
exactly.
a fucking bag. Tony Ortega, you know, it's obvious. You know, it's Tony Ortega, intrepid Stephen Bauer, you know, underground musician. You know, so. We've outed them, you know. How can it not be Stephen Bauer of, I'll just pull up this fucking info right now, the power of the intranet. But, you know, he's a musician, says he's in Southern California. You know, good old Daryl here outed him as Stephen Bauer. And
well,
lo and behold.
How do you know for sure?
Because how could it not be? You know, remember last year.
I can tell you the story of how we found out. And of course, you know my motivations because they were out me first. So that, but
your motivations are heroic, Daryl. Always.
When the beer barrel went got hacked down twice, like the I think the first time it got hacked down actually, like Steve, like Intrepid, like signed up another one, like the beerbarrel.com or the beerbarrel.info or something like
oh, yeah.
that. And when
yeah.
he signed it up, he left his information in there. Like kind of like I did when I made Scope Vision and Overwatch stole it, and then when we looked in the mod lounges the second time like I'm pretty sure that the mod lounges like if I remember correctly I could be wrong but I'm pretty sure that they like were worried about like that they pretty much confirmed that I had found them.
Yeah, well you know I got it right now. Stephen Bauer and the Silent Majority. You know, he's a Los Angeles musician, and like we were saying last week, Polonium, that when we've got enough evidence, it's up to the guilty party to prove that they're innocent. You know, it's like
yeah.
with Tony Ortega, he's just got this massive hard-on for Scientology. And then when you look at Il Ragno, he kind of like, at the same time, he kind of praises and bashes Christopher Hitchens, you know, because apparently Ortega is a former Catholic, he's an atheist, and
Agno, what a moron.
Yeah, he's a little faggot, you know, definitely.
He just babbles, boy.
Good.
Hey, you
Good.
Know, there's one identity we don't know, and that YI is the ulcerator. Who is that son of a bitch?
I don't know. I think on StumbleIn, he's. I've always gotten the opinion from, or the feeling, I should say, that on StumbleIn, that he's Hodge Backmaker from the StumbleIn. I've always.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I know that. We know that.
Yeah.
He, you know, he's practically admitted that. But, I mean, you know, who's. I mean, you've got Stephen Bauer and,
yeah.
and Tony Ortega and those other scum.
Yeah, and the other thing with Stephen Bauer is Ozebedee, he used to play with the Dave Matthews Band and their buddies, and the
sure.
Dave Matthews Band is, you know, it's pretty, you know, they're fags, but, you know, they're still well-known, so it's just more evidence against them, and he hasn't even acknowledged that, you know, like, they acknowledge every little post that we make in the shout box, but all of a sudden it's like, fucking, whoa, I think we've discovered who Stephen Bauer is. And all of a sudden, he just kind of disappears, you know. He won't mention anything about that. And then around the same time, if you notice that this is like South by Southwest, the SXXW, he won't be posting at all, you know, on the internet, on any of these web forums. But when he's not, he's, you know, he's posting on like five or six of them at the same time. He'll even go so far as to cross-post, you know, like he'll post it on the Stumble In and then on the Beer Barrel and... You know,
hey, you know who is the dumbest son of a bitch over there. I mean, this guy isn't even a moron. He's an imbecile, you know. And, you know, morons have higher IQs than imbeciles.
Oh,
but
yeah,
that's
definitely.
Commander Chimpow, Eddie
Haskell.
Oh,
yeah, 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 yeah.
That is the dumbest son of a bitch, I swear to God. And
yeah, Commander Chimpow is in the show box right now, the good Baptist. You know, sucking beer barrel cock, trying to get back in with them. But, you know, he doesn't realize the joke's on him because basically he's got, you know, he sits there and now he's praising the beer barrel, you know, the good Baptist right at the moment. You know, he's
pinball.
Praising the beer barrel. He's sucking, you know, Mr. Pratt's dick. And, you know, he doesn't realize that they just laugh at him. And he'll go back there and then he'll turn over.
He started out on Free Media Productions in, like, Fire Zone in, like, 2009.
Yeah.
He got upset because, like, criticized Islam and, like, quit.
Yeah.
Jumped to the fora, like, got like, fell out there, then, like, then went to the stumble in the beer barrel, got kicked out there, went back to Free Media Productions, then got pissed off because I was doing the soft puppet, then went back to the beer barrel. Like, it's like he can't, like, he's like pinball, man. Like, he has no, he has no, like, single way of looking at things. He just bounces.
Yeah, yeah, well, totally.
He's found a home there at Beer Queer Barrel now.
Yeah. Oh, yuck, yuck, yuck. Fucking Manzer. That's what he is.
You know, I posted a poll. I says, well, you know, are the Jews the, I'm talking about the Israelis, are they the biggest, the most dangerous terrorists, you know, in the whole world, in the history of the world, yes or no? And that dumb bastard, he says, oh, the Muslims are a lot worse.
Well, yeah, you know what, the Muslims, they're more like, it's more like they're more like the Crips or something, you know? It's like when you put it in perspective, the perspective I've always taken, it's kind of like you got the Bloods and the Crips and say, like, you know, the Crips are firing,
those poor Muslims, they're totally on the defense. They don't have... Pakistan is the only Muslim country that has anything like, you know, nuclear weapons. And, you know, it seems to be totally controlled by the U.S. And, I mean, they're being murdered left and right, man, especially those poor Palestinians, man. I mean, we're going to be in the same shoes as those Palestinians pretty soon. They're going to have drones flying all over the United States, man. Did you hear about that?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've seen that on the news even, you know. They're just like, oh, yeah, we're just putting those drones out here to, like, spray fucking mosquito spray and shit, you know, in case the mosquitoes get too bad. But, you know, that's the thing now with the Internet. There's people, it's so easy to access, you know, all these different theories. And some of these theories you come across, you'd have to be, you know, just an idiot.
They admit it. They admit it. Why? You know, the government, our stinking, filthy government, they admit it. They're going to have drones watching us, you know, and even ready to kill us.
Okay, we got a few other, we're going to see, we got a few people dialed in. We're going to unmute them and see what's going on. Apostolic Pentecostal, you're on the air.
I have a comment, by the way, about the terrorism, Jews versus Muslims.
Okay, yeah,
like,
cool.
Like at first, back in, like, 2007, 2008, like I did for a while collaborate with the Zionists, and I think it was a mistake to make because I've understand the world better now, and not that I think any group is inherently more evil or more good. I think that if given enough power and enough resources, like, the shoe could be, but it's all about the material conditions, and the bottom line is that American imperialists and Israeli imperialists have a lot of money and power, and Muslims don't. I don't think that one is good and the other is evil. If Muslims had enough power, the shoe could probably be on the other foot, but right now, the people, in other words, it's not that one is good and the other is evil, but it's one has power and the other doesn't, and I only trust the working class of power.
Oh, yeah, yeah, they're both Semitic people, which we were talking about last week. So if you're an anti-Semite, you can't really stick up for the Muslims and then bash the Jews. You got to equally kind of reject.
Well, I'm not saying that, but what I'm saying is, like the Muslims, like who are now are resisting the power structure, and if they could become the power structure, and then that would be a different material conditions. But under current material conditions, the Muslims who are resisting the power structure should be supported.
Yeah,
and it's all about the material conditions. That's what it's about. And I didn't understand that when I tried to side with Zionists earlier.
Oh yeah, Zionism. It's fucked up. That's all I got to say about it. We got this apostolic Pentecostal chimping out in the shout box. You're unmuted, so if you want to have anything to say, you're on the air. Give them 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay, we're meeting them. Okay. All right, okay. We gave him his chance. All right, he can listen. Okay, so we can continue on. Oh, now he's left the chat room. Look at that. Oh.
But do you get what I'm saying? That like again, like Islam maybe should not be supported as an ideology long term, but as to the extent that Islams are resisting the power structure right now, it's convenient.
Oh, exactly. Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, that's all it is. It's like all these anti-Zionists are like, you know, propping up. You know, they're basically, you know, you can be critical of Israel, but you don't have to prop up, you know, the Palestinians and the Muslims. Because, frankly, you know, the Muslims, if the shoe was on the other foot and they had the power, they would be, you know, they'd be like, hey, our good Christian brothers, like, fucking, you know, let's share as well.
Is Muslims are, because of their religion, conflicting with capitalism, which is actually a good thing, though in my opinion it's coincidental. Like, I'm not saying that Islamic theory is good, but it's a good coincidence, and it's a good way to resist the power structure pragmatically.
Yeah, well, they do resist the power, but just like with the Jews, you know, the higher up Muslims, there's like such a huge dramatic, you know, difference in their power, you know, compared to the Jews. The Jews, there's like the middle class Jews and stuff, and you know, there's middle class Muslims that come to America. But when you go over to the, you know, when you actually get over there, it's fucking, there's, you know, just these Muslims in palaces, and they don't give a fuck that other people are starving, their fellow Muslims. They don't care, you know. It's more money for them. And, you know, I guess that's why you got to kind of have a bit of respect for them. Yeah, it's just the fact that they can look out for themselves, and they just don't give a shit what's happening in other parts. But, you know,
but if you ask me, Muslims resist the capitalist power structure more than Zionists now. Zionists are completely dependent on global capitalism.
Oh, yeah,
completely. Yeah.
Yeah, they have to have capitalism, because without capitalism, they would have nothing to distort, you know, to their own good.
They're dependent on people who live nowhere. It's like a utopian idea, and it's like trying to form it based on using resources from Western countries. And whereas like the Muslims are more like at least building their own society. But in my opinion, to say that either group is inherently good or bad would go against my like materialist ideas. It's just that under the current material conditions, the Muslims happen to be resisting the power structure, and the Jews happen to be working for the power structure.
Yeah.
And that could change any day. And if it changed, I would change my alignment.
Oh, yeah, exactly. There's, you know, it's like with the truth. Once the truth is glaringly obvious.
Right.
And... Okay, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just saying right on.
Okay.
The truth.
So we have the truth here. We've got, you know, atheism, communism, and fucking... We've got an atheist, communist, and two Catholics, you know, and we have Catholic capitalists. And, you know, we can agree here, so this is kind of this is more truth that we're on to something good. And that, frankly, you know, we are working together for the common good, where, you know, the beer barrel mamzers and, you know, stumbling, you know, they've done their own thing kind of now, they're off the radar, you know, it's kind of do your own thing, we'll do ours. But, you know, there's too many mamzers that are... still, you know, going back to the stumble in and, you know, supporting it, and they got to kind of make a decision over, you know, stumble in or the beer barrel, because when the day of the sword comes, you know, if they're still aligned with the stumble in, it's gonna, you know, heads are gonna roll. That's
beer barrel is lower though. Stumbling is low, but beer barrel is lower. What was Apocalypse? I can't see the chat room. What was Apocalypse chimping out about? Like you said.
Well, that's a past all like Pentastockel. Is that the taco? Oh yeah, I guess it would be. Probably. He's just fags burn in hell, Buddhists burn in hell, adulterers burn in hell. God hates you. God hates America. You got the good Baptist. That's obviously, you know, it's like Commander Chimp. I was like, fuck, man, change your game, because it's like people can spot you like in a second. You know, it's like. You know, it's like not, it doesn't even take a second to spot Commander Chimpo. You know, like the guy makes a post and it's just like, oh yeah, that's Commander. And then, you know, lo and behold, he chimps out. Clancy's a good white man. I don't even know if he's from the Circle of Crust or not. I don't think he is. I think he's kind of a new convert. And
from Four Facts, but he got banned from Four Facts.
Oh, okay, so he's from the four of Fags.
The fake four.
The fake four.
Where's the four?
Yeah, he's joined up with the real Fora. And, you know, I really appreciate, you know, how he kind of stirs the shit pot still for us, you know. So he's he's proven to be quite the comrade for the cause, definitely.
What?
Like the Polonian here, he's, you know, I really enjoy the fact that you've decided to join the real Fora, because, like, a year ago, me and Breck were talking about that. Like, that'd be the shit, you know. It'd be the best to have, you know, like, me, Breck, you know, Daryl here, and you, and, you know, just all, we don't even need that many. We don't even need that
one,
many people.
One thing I'll say about Apollonian is, like, hearing him talk on these programs, he's much more intelligent than I would have, like, been, like, thinking that, like, based on reading his writings.
Well, actually, I think...
I don't mean that in a back-ended way. Like,
yeah,
like,
I know. I just think, you know, it's these people can't... Like, I've seen Jacob's Monster, you know, chimping out about, like, oh, well, you know, he just doesn't spell full words. It's like, well, who cares? I how come I can understand exactly what he's saying? I can read it word for word, and it's just a W stands for with. You know, it's quite obvious that a lot of people do that. You know, so... frankly, you know, Apollonian's kind of a genius, and I really respect how he just doesn't care about the rep system. He's always kind of, you know, thumbed his nose at it, and he's always spoken what he perceives as the truth, no matter what the consequence. So he is, you know, in that effect, kind of almost like almost a martyr. He hasn't been martyred yet, but, you know, there's no doubt in my mind, Apollonian, that you would be martyred for your beliefs. You know, you would not back down. You would die.
Yeah.
You know, and be proud to die for an estate of beliefs. Whereas, you know, like people like Apocalypse, he just kind of goes with the flow.
Oh.
You know, like,
don't get me into the. We're gonna start the coastal feuding now because I'm gonna say Apocalypse got a West Coast attitude.
Oh yeah, very well. West Coast is it's fag ideology. West Coast. You know, it's just these. I remember I was down in Vancouver, and it's just disgusting. You know, it just disgusted me to see, like, these, just the bourgeoisie ultra Untermensch club or something. Like, you know, you got fucking, you basically go in a store, and they're selling, like, $100 shirts with, like, button-up $100 floral print shirts and all these floral prints and stuff, surfer shorts, and everyone says, dude, and... fucking junkies walking around everywhere asking.
Hey, have you seen a picture? Have you seen the picture of Apocalypse? He's wheelchair bound. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know. That makes sense, though, that he is. That definitely would make sense how he has all the time to just sit on the internet all day.
Yeah, he posted a picture of himself on the shout box one time, and he's sitting there in a wheelchair.
Wow, I would not doubt that at all, you know.
Of course, you know, I asked him, are you wheelchair bound? He just didn't answer, you know.
Yeah. Well,
so that's kind of like saying yes. If he wasn't, he'd say no.
Well,
right?
Exactly. That's why, you know, we have to put the onus on people to prove themselves that they aren't. You know, it's like we have to, you know, I think we. I wonder if this Hiram guy is actually Apocalypse. It says, did it ever occur to you that maybe he posted a fake pic? I guess that's you, Apollonian. But, you know, I think we're on to
something. That's a possibility.
Yeah, oh, it's a possibility, you know, but I think the fact that he's he's basically just a phony, you know. I think he cross-dresses and makes because, you know, there's a lot of talk, there's been a lot of speculation from the beginning that he's Allison, and it makes sense.
Because, Robert Blake.
Because I remember, you know, getting when the beer barrel first started, and one of the big things in Apocalypse was, like, fucking just chimping out, like he has sent this big private message to all these members about Krieger, and Krieger chasing Semza G, or whatever the fuck her name was. Semza G, or whatever, however the fuck her name is, was an Apocalypse sock puppet. He'd have to...
Dane 123123 was a sock puppet, too.
Oh, yeah, it's obvious, you know. You'd have to be a dumb fuck not to know that.
Yeah.
Apocalypse, I think, was Semza G, and then he just chimped out completely about Krieger, and like, oh my god, you know, Krieger's trying to steal my sock puppet girlfriend, you know, like, it's just like, what the fuck, buddy, you know, so he basically was like, yeah, I'm leaving the beer barrel, I'm starting this new site, the beer barrel, because Breck won't ban Krieger, and, you know, it's, I don't know, I kind of miss Krieger, you know, I remember.
Hey, why?
Yeah.
Why, you know, who's this motherfucker, he thinks he's really smart, but he's really a goddamn moron. That's Macrobius.
Oh, that guy. What, John Goodwin. Yeah, John. He's a chomo, that's for sure. You know, like,
What do you mean by a chomo? What is that?
I don't know. It's just one of those great words Pastor Martin has come up with. Chomo. I really don't know. But it's I like a lot of that about Lindstedt's speak, you know, I personally, I am a fan of it, you know, he goes
he's too much,
that's what
shit.
I like about him, you know, I like people that are to extremes, you know, I like extremes.
Yeah, he's bad.
Yeah, he is extreme, you can admit that, yeah, that's what I kind of like, you know, like, it's like I get a good chuckle a lot of the times reading his posts.
He's all style, no substance, man. He talks the same stupid, brainless bullshit. He hardly ever says anything. And, you know, like, he doesn't seem to have any followers, maybe like John Z. Niggy, who calls himself John Z.
He used
White.
To be popular on the Fake Four. Like, the Fake Four used to really respect him for his intellect, but I don't think it's faded over the last few years.
Yeah.
See,
because I don't know anyone who agrees with him very much about anything.
Yeah, Thomas 77 is another one. Thomas 77 and Macrobius, in my opinion, have very similar posting styles, where they kind of, like, elaborate and use complex sentence structure, but they really don't say anything in their post when you get down to it. Like, it's all like icing and no cake. And they were really respected, but now I get the feeling that Thomas 77 and Macrobius aren't really that respected anymore.
Yeah, well, it's kind of, you know, this pro-Islam bullshit is kind of, you know, it's getting on people's nerves, I think. I remember there's this apostle Apostolic Pentecostal, we're going to unmute him. Okay, you're on the air. Hello, Apostolic Pentecostal, you're on the air.
You would not be in those flames.
Okay,
we moved in them again. That's, you know, we just, you know, these beer barrel fags, that's got to be Apocalypse. You know, it's a little, you know.
You explained last show, and it didn't get recorded, why you don't like El Ragno. Everybody knows why I don't like El Ragno, but what did you say?
Ragno babbles. He babbles, and he never says anything, you know.
Yeah.
It's
sort of like what I said before, like Thomas Evans said of Macrobius, except that he doesn't, like, he disguises it more as, like, a stupid sense of humor, and in my opinion, his humor is really jealousy, and it's not that, yeah.
He definitely...
But go ahead, explain more, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh yeah, he's definitely very dramatic, very dramatic guy. Il Regno. He's a little bitch, definitely. Kind of like
I don't think Apple. You weren't done yet. I'm sorry. I think I cut you off.
Oh yeah, I'm sorry too. Yeah, go on, Napoleon. Il Regno.
Oh, well,
why is he a bitch?
Regno, you know that guy. He likes to pretend to being a wit. You know, he's a wit.
Yeah.
He tries to be witty and funny, but he never really, you know, makes any kind of a point. You know, he likes to, like, tell little anecdotes, you know, and little stories, and he
yeah.
uses, you know, these stupid words, like these New York terminologies, like a skell. I mean, you know, and he never says anything. He only... he checks in like once a week, or maybe a couple of times a week, and that's it. He never has really anything to say. You know, he's just one of the Jew mentors there. He sucks along with Jew Stink and Blue Toid and the other guy, Mr. Puke.
Yeah, yeah.
If you look at him very deeply, though, you could tell that like I have a sense of humor, and Fitz has a sense of humor, and it's like it's
yeah.
kind of like just like in a certain way. But you could tell that El Ragno is really very bitter and very vindictive at his so-called humor,
oh, yeah.
and that it's really he's just kind of using that as like a smokescreen to attack someone and then make it look harmless, like ha ha, like it's just a joke. But really, he's not just joking. He's pissed off, and it's just his communication style for not. To sneak it by, and that's I Fade the Butcher had the same observation that I have.
Yeah, very shallow, very empty. You know, he doesn't really say anything about very
yeah.
much, but he pretends he does. He pretends he's the wittiest. You know, he's the cleverest. You know, wit that there is.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, it disgusts me to see, you know, these people like Jakob the Monster. He goes out of his way to make the Il Regno reader, and that was just, like, the biggest case of internet cocksucking I've ever seen in my life.
It was so ridiculous the way that Il Regno is there, you know, posting family members, posting employers and that kind of stuff, and Mods the Monster basically looked the other way.
Yeah.
And then I started outing a few people, and he calls me a rat and stuff and says, you know, if we're going to have to make a decision between you and El Ragno, we're going to choose El Ragno. Like, how much ass-kissing can you do?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I know, and then make, like, the correct...
breaking your own stupid rules.
Yeah, but actually going through, like, you know, thousands of posts and copying and pasting them into, like, a virtual online book, that's just beyond me. Like, who would do that? You know, except for someone who had some kind of internet crush, you know. And it's like when Jakob's Monster tried to start the Stumbling Radio again with old Breck. He was like, you know, I remember Breck called in and, you know, Jakob's Monster was like, holy shit, he mentioned Salo Forum. Like, oh shit, I better mute this right now. You know, he's too protective, you know. Like, I don't know, he's just, I don't know what his problem is, but I think, you know, obviously...
Moralistic. Towards me outing people, but he doesn't give a shit when I get my family and employers and stuff posted over. And usually that precedes me retaliating. I don't get it why people are allowed to do anything they want to me, and then if I do anything back, then there's a problem.
Yeah, well, it's kind of funny is actually that, you know, with all this outing stuff, I've just kind of found out some stuff, and it's like, wow, your family's actually quite successful, and, you know, it's like, wow, you know, I'm sure it's kind of a source of lulls sometimes, you know, like, oh, you know, like, because I can see El Ragno actually phoning people and them just being like, okay, so, yeah, D fucking, you know, said something that made you butthurt, like, oh, okay, that's funny.
It
yeah,
really pissed
like,
them off at first, but once I finally explained to them the source of it, that it's a bunch of, you know, bitter losers on the internet, and I explained the whole the forms behind it. Now I think they finally get that it's not really my fault. Like, I think when they just think it appeared at first just to be random people, and they thought, well, what's Daryl getting them in, and why are we being contacted? But once I showed that it's all coming from the same source, now
yeah.
they...
And then we get, we can go on against Man Against Time now, a.k.a. Thermonuclear Warrior. He's kind of just, you know, he's just a tag-along little bitch. You know, like, that's pretty much all he is. He just goes with, you know, the flow.
Talks with a southern accent and pretends to be native to Pennsylvania.
Well, apparently, you know, Pastor Martin, he outed him last week as a Hungarian Jew.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's great if he did. But his accent is, I don't know if you know American accents that well, because you're Canadian. But
sort,
like,
I sort of do.
His accent is, like, hardcore southern, but he pretends to be, like born and bred Philadelphia. It's pathetic.
Yeah. Oh, totally. And then, you know, it's like he, you know, just, it's all so pathetic. You know, he kind of like, you know, he's trying to say he's pro-white, and then always like, oh, and him and Shady Bob, like, oh, yeah, I'm going to jack off all over Naki's tits. And it's like, fuck, man, Naki's tits were probably at her knees, you know, like, she's had three fucking kids. That's, you know, her tits are not, I'm sure they're nothing spectacular, you know, like, they probably have stretch marks. She probably has stretch marks on her belly, you know, like, you know, you're going by an avatar on the internet, you know, like, it's, I've always thought, you know, perhaps that Naki could be Johnson, you know, but I think probably Johnson might be light. Oh, I don't know. I think there's, I wouldn't be surprised if Bluto is.
Oh, why I? Intrepid is Lido. Lido is Intrepid.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Then, Bluto is separate, and, you know, Juice Stink, he's separate, but Intrepid is the same as Lido.
Yeah, I'm
yeah,
pretty
and
sure
I think Bluto might be Intrepid as well, because it's just too.
Bluto is more likely Johnson, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't know. See, the thing, my theory is that Bluto is probably just an account that both Johnson and Intrepid, they probably both use, you know, so they can just kind of, like, fuck people up, like, you know, like Pastor Martin caught, because he was a very, very, very adamant that Bluto was Lido, you know, and Intrepid. Because I guess probably, I bet you, I wouldn't doubt that, you know, they got Intrepid to log into the Bluto account and then post, you know, in Pastor Martin's sub form back on StumbleIn, and then it's like, oh, you know, the same IP address.
Yeah.
Boom, you know, like, oh, we threw Pastor Martin for a ride. So I kind of would.
That's Lido is Intrepid, though, based
oh,
on
yeah,
the
yeah.
fact that.
Definitely the
they Lido for a while was kissing my ass and, like, pretending to be, like, pro Kane, and then, like, they both, like, changed at the exact same time, so I don't think it wasn't intentional, but I'm pretty sure that it's the same person.
Yeah, Lido is just, it's very, a lot of it's very telling of, you know, their actual, you know, their real personas, like, you know, they must be a homosexual, you know, Bluto is probably, you know, kind of a gruff homo. Intrepid and looks like top, you know, like one of the ones that takes it in the ass. And, you know, that would definitely go in with the Lido theory, you know, where he pretends to be an old Croatian woman. And the Apostle Seymour prefers to be younger girls. And, you know, I've caught him on Facebook before even where, you know, he had this account, this pretending to be this Polish girl, and I was like, well...
L.A. is a big area for acting. L.A. is, like, for acting in Hollywood and that kind of stuff, so...
Yeah, like, I wouldn't be surprised if Apocalypse sits there and dresses up like a woman and flirts, because, you know, he flirts, you know, with other guys pretending to be women. And Zed used to always fall for this shit, and that's kind of what drove Beck crazy and kind of was the end of the stumble in. And it was, you know, complete...
I think I'm going to let you guys, like, just because I frequently do radio shows all the time, I think I want to, like, just, like, allow you to talk to App by yourself.
Yeah.
I don't want to hog everything.
Yeah, that's fine, you know. Thanks for calling in.
You're welcome. Unless you got something you really want me to comment on, I think I'll let you guys go.
No, we'll just, it's okay, you know. You've done your part. You know, we're going to have more radio shows, so I guess it's, you know, sign off then, buddy.
All right, see you guys later.
Okay. All right, so now it's just Apollonian and me. We really, you know, have to, you know, really shine a spotlight on the truth of, you know, the beer barrel and the fact that these scummy pukes are just so afraid of us that they've, you know, decided to ban you. Or they, you know, the typical Jews, they won't actually ban you. They'll just make it so all your posts don't appear. And then, you know, when people finally start, you know, figuring a way around that, they just put you in your own little section, you know, because they're so afraid of the truth that they have to stop it by any means necessary.
Well, it came to a head when I just started, calling Ulcerator, you know, the Ulcerator who ulcerates and everything, and
yeah.
He couldn't stand it, so he gets his buffoon buddies to lobby, you know, and agitate Apocalypse. And I was also getting on Apocalypse, calling him a half-breed all the time,
yeah.
You know. He's always trying to pretend to be white and everything. He knows all about what white people think and everything, you know, and it was those two factors why, you know, the Ulcerator and Apocalypse, the half-breed.
Yeah.
That's what did it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think, you know, definitely he probably has ulcers. And he's probably, you know, you called him on it. And I bet you he's got stomach cancer.
He admitted
something.
He admitted that. He said, I remember last year sometime somebody asked him, how are you doing? You know, and he says, oh, I'm still working on that ulcer.
You definitely hit a nerve there.
Yeah.
Once you hit a nerve.
I kept hitting that. You know, how's your ulcers, Ulcerator? Is it still ulcerating?
Exactly. Yeah, I know. It's, it's definitely, once you hit something that causes butthurt, that's when you're trolling. You know, and that's when you're doing good trolling, when you actually find something that really hits the nail on the head and causes the person to get upset. And that's when they start breaking down and their weakness is exposed, because they're no longer thinking with logic and reason. They're just so angry that all they see basically is, like, you know, red, and they're just seething with anger. And that's like with Il Regno. That's why Il Regno is made so many, you know, just obvious blatant mistakes is, you know, we've, you know, like when I started to, call him on it, like, well, you know, your wife, you know, or your mother, you were posting on the forum, on the fora, or the fake fora, well, when she died. And I really believe that he did. Well, he was, you know, more concerned about posting on the internet when his mother died, that if he would have been taking care of his mother like he was supposed to, she probably, you know, because I think, you know, she choked to death on, oatmeal or something, like she was eating, and he was sitting there like, oh, fuck, I got this flame war I better deal with. I got to, you know, prove these people wrong. And then, you know, he has his big post, you know, and I found it, and I brought it up. And, he just went off the deep end, you know. And then, you know, after that, you know, he basically stated his wife died too of cancer, but I just don't buy it. I really believe that he faked his wife's death. I'm sure his mother did die, but if he would have been taking care of his mother, you know, I think he was just too Jewish to pay for an old folks home, you know, or someone to come in and take care of her. So he just basically left his mother lying in her deathbed, and, you know, like a fake Catholic that he is, he sat there and probably stole her inheritance money or whatever, her pension, so that he could get a better computer with faster internet connection so he could fucking... and the good Baptist here, he says, oh, you shouldn't have said stuff about Il Regno's mother. That was low. Well, Il Regno's mother, I'm sure, was a good lady and, you know, a good Catholic. It's not her fault that her son's a punk-ass, scummy, little fake Catholic. He's
probably a fag, too, you know.
Well, he's definitely a fag. That's without doubt. The honest is on him.
He admits he lives in New York.
Yeah,
you know,
fag capital.
And you can't live in New York unless you're tolerant of faggots.
And Jews. Don't forget the Jews.
That's right.
Yeah, so, you know, the honest is on him, you know, maybe to call in right now and fucking you know, prove himself otherwise. But, you know, he won't, because, you know, he knows if he calls in, we'll, you know, sit there and find interviews with Tony Ortega, and we'll do voice, you know, like analyze the voice, and we'll, you know, we'll catch him. So my advice to him is just sit there with your tail between your legs and cry like a bitch, because that's all you are. And if you actually cared about your mom, you'd be doing some almsgiving for her to get her out of the purgatory. But, you know, being a fake Catholic that he is, he probably thinks, oh, no, she just went right to heaven. But really, you know, you got to be a pretty big egotistical prick to think that, oh, I just bypass purgatory and go straight to heaven. Because in my understanding, it's like, you know, everyone goes to purgatory. You pretty much have to before you go to heaven, or you're kind of stinking of heaven, you know. You got to be cleansed by the fire of purgatory. And it's kind of like, you know, just letting a fucking stinky Jew smelling like a Kafka smelly motherfucker into heaven. And then all of a sudden it's like, hey, this place stinks. And it's like, well, you let a fag in, you know, so cleanse him in the fires of purgatory first, and you won't have this stink up in heaven.
Well, well, I think we've covered all the personalities. So I think, and we're pushing an hour and a half again.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's just one more thing we have to cover, you know,
okay,
which we covered last time, and that's the Mormons. And,
yeah, the,
you know,
Mormons.
The Mormons, they're a lot like Jews. You know, they think they're going to be God.
Yeah.
You know, they think that they can reincarnate into gods. And, you know, these motherfuckers, they think that there's more than one God, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's stupid. They're not Christians.
No, no, not at all.
Why?
They're fake Christians.
How in the fuck can you be Christian? You know, if you believe anybody can be God, that's stupid. That has nothing to do with Christianity whatsoever.
No.
There's just one God for us Christians.
Yeah, and then there's these, they're like post-mortem baptisms of like Jews, you know, like, what the hell is that, you know, Anne Frank?
Stupid morons.
Yeah, you know, like Anne Frank, she would have made a little, nice little whore, you know, to have locked up in the attic, you know, and just like, yeah, I'll let you hide in the attic from the Nazis, but you better suck my dick, you little fucking whore. Maybe we should go on. You know, I really respected that, how you stuck up for the capitalist way of porn. You know, that was something that was, you know, a really defining moment in, you know, how you just stuck up for, you know, the porn system and capitalism. And it's true, you know, like these girls, they know what they're getting involved in. It's not a secret, you know. They know they're going to get money, but it's just when it comes down to it, you know, and actually performing, and they're just, you know, these stuck-up bitches, you know, and they're just thinking like, oh, this is going to be an easy fucking couple hundred dollars. Well, it's like, well, no, it's not. It's not. It's not what you see on the TV. What you see on the TV is, you know, it's been edited and it's been, you know, the finished product. So, you know, these people, they're, you know, saying, oh, porn's bad, but, you know, let porn be. If people, bad people watch it, then, you know, people watch it. If people want to, they can watch it. It's up to them. It's free choice, and that's what capitalism is. It's the right to make your own free choices, and if, you know,
yeah,
you're making money, then you're making money. But these actresses, you know, these fucking scummy whores that think like, oh, I'm just going to get paid, I'm going to fuck the system and make money spreading my legs, I really like to see them get, you know, basically punished, you know, like kind of like, you know, like when they're crying and shit, and you see like the behind the scenes shit, and they're breaking down crying, and the guy fucking her is just like, oh, poor baby, you know, cry all you want, fucking all the sick fucks at home, this is what they want to see. They want to see you cry, and then she starts crying harder. That's fucking, you know, I think that's hilarious, you know, because it's like, well, yeah, there you go, you stupid bitch, you know, you shouldn't have done this, you know, you should be a good woman and work a real job, but you think you want to get, you know, you spread your legs and get fucked on camera, and you think you're going to be something big. No, you're not. You're just a filthy whore. And, you know, that's that. You just got fucked on camera, and you'll never live this down. And, you know, and especially when they get like $100 for it, you know, that's fucking the gravy icing on the cake, you know. It's like, you just did that for $100. Like, Jesus Christ, you could have worked at McDonald's for 8 hours, got paid more, and went through a lot less torture, you know?
So that's really funny.
Well, gosh, I'm getting tired. Y.I., what about you?
Yeah, we could wrap it up soon unless anyone else is going to call in. You know, I'll give them a couple of minutes to call in, and then I can speak.
Well, I'm sure they wanted to listen to us first to see, you know, to see how we talk about stuff.
Yeah.
And then maybe the next radio shows they'll call in to, you know, have a discussion. Can you think of anything more to discuss?
Oh, whatever. It's you know, we got.
I can't.
Yeah, well, I could discuss shit for hours. You know, it's that's the problem sometimes. Like last episode went on over 2 hours, and then, you know, it's basically if anyone's gonna call in, you know, they got about say 2 minutes to call in, or we're gonna be wrapping this up. And you know, it's great. We've got it recorded, so we can listen to it. Other people can listen to it. The beer barrel fags can sit there and put it up. You know, we got the little fag, Reverend Ed Haskell. He's back at the beer barrel.
After all, we copped their case and told them everything about their lives.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I'm not going to sit here for hours and talk about the beer barrel fags because, frankly, you know,
barrel.
Yeah, the queer barrel. I was listening to that episode where it's just me ranting on them because finally when I got the flash flare working, it was actually pretty good stuff, a lot of it, you know. You know, just basically telling it like it is, and the next day, boom, right after that juice stink, he starts a fucking thread, you know, Yak of Israel, and, you know, oh, not funny, you know, and it's like, why? Because I just verbally raped you for half an hour by myself on a broadcast without any guests, you know, and just off the top of my head. So, yeah, I don't think we're going to have anyone call in, because, frankly, we gave them their chance, and, yeah, so let's wrap this up. Thank you for calling in, Apollonian.
All right.
Oh, we could maybe go quickly in a John D. Nugget if you want.
Oh, yeah, but we'll
next week. We fucking cover. He's not even worth covering right now. The guy's such a fucking failure.
Yeah,
like
he's a so-called leader without a goddamn plan.
His plan is fucking he's going to release a book. And,
he's the world's greatest leader. He just doesn't have a plan.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's just basically, he's gonna fucking release a book, and then suddenly, bam, just everything's gonna fall into place, you know. And he's just so delusional that he's like, oh, okay, yeah, we're gonna have a caller right away. Okay, excellent. Okay, but yeah, John D. Nugget is so fucking delusional. Like it's fucking. It's unbelievable, like, how delusional he is, you know, like, he keeps...
Well, you know, Willis Carto, you know that guy, he's pretty, you know, he used to be top flight, you know, in the Patriot movement, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was pretty impressed with John D. Nugent, but...
You know, everyone was kind of impressed with John D. Nugent in the beginning. It's just
after
fucking 5 years of saying your book's coming out, just then, you know, fucking, oh, this is it, you know. I'm just waiting for this next event, you know. Like, I remember this was like 5 years ago, some event, and then he canceled it because he thought that he was going to get, you know, he's like, oh, I've got this premonition I'm going to get into a car accident because, you know, basically he just has, you know, some... You know, he's the next Hitler or something, and God speaks to him and shit, and I don't know. And then when his little former buddy Henrik Kalupa came out and just basically said, like, you know, the guy's a delusional fucking queer.
Yeah, he's a violent son of a bitch, too. Likes to beat up on females.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've heard all about that. You know, he basically, you know, everything came out, and then it was so funny because, you know, the Google cache, it catches shit, you know, so it's basically like you catch shit, you know, after it's gone. Okay, we got Pastor Linsett on the phone, so I'm going to let you go now, Apollonian.
Okay, good talking to
well,
you.
Well, I mean, oh, Abby don't need to, you know, Abby don't need to go.
If you
want to
stay on,
I just took a shower here. I'm sort of naked, and I don't have a pellet slat handy. You safe?
Yeah, okay, yeah. Well, don't worry. Yeah, everything's fine. He was just talking about going, and I was waiting for someone to call in, so, yeah.
Hiram, you know, he's he goes ahead and he follows these Christian Identity and these Nimbuster shows, and you had a few Nimbusters come in. Of course, you ended up having old Commandor Chimp out.
Oh,
Raph,
okay, yeah, he's off the air now. So you can, it's kind of nice though, because I think kind of two of you might just fucking go at it too hard, and it wouldn't even. So now you can speak your piece, Pastor.
Well, Appy went ahead and went off here. He's sort of like Son of the Myth, aka I call him Son of the Bitch, or Commandor McFag, or the rest of them. I show up, and these critters all discover a previous engagement they have to go ahead and head out to here, and Appy's one of them. Oh, listen to Appy. He went so far to where he even had old Hiram asking if old Appy was Christian Identity, and then he had to go ahead, no, Liston wants to be a Jew here, and he believes in free will, all this sort of thing, and I tried when Appy first came to stumble in to go ahead and explain to him Christian Identity.
Yeah, I would like to see you to explain to me kind of Christian Identity, because I've always thought, you know, the 12 tribes of Israel is like, yeah, that's, you know, Israelites and Jews is definite distinguished. That's
okay.
I don't even
all right.
Talking
all right.
About.
Let me go ahead and first give you the 30-second view of what Christian Identity overall is.
Right on.
Christian Identity overall is the belief that the Northern and Western Europeans, you know, the Scandinavians, the Celts, the Germans, you know, are the, quote, lost 10 tribes, actually all 13 tribes of the House of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And it started out as British Israelitism in the 1830s and 1840s. It was a racial religion just like Mormonism started out to be, and then it went ahead and branched out.
Mm-hmm.
And Well, actually, Jesus Christ was a dual seedliner. He knew where the Jews were from. He said that they were the children of Satan. They said that they were the children of the devil. He went ahead and pointed out to these Pharisee Jews who were Edomites where they came from, and you know, before John 8:44. Essentially, overall, Christian Identity is the belief that the, quote, white Nordic Aryan peoples are the, quote, lost 10 or actually 13 tribes of Israel, because if you go ahead and look at it, all the tribes were deported by the Assyrians in 721 to 719 B.C.
Hmm.
Okay, that's the 30-second view. Okay, now the dual seed line view goes on, and it says that literally that Jews are the spawn of Satan, because the original sin was a seduction of Eve, to where she gave birth to Cain, the first Jew, through a seduction by Satan. It wasn't about eating an apple or anything like that here. And then that brings up the question, is that, well, what about the local flood? I mean, if Noah was a man of pure, you know, pure generation, well, what happened to all the Jews and niggers and, you know, the red niggers and all this? Where did they come from? The answer that dual feedline Christian Identity has is that it was a local flood, and the leading scholar, Bertrand Comparé, said it occurred around 3145 to 3142 in the Tarim Basin, which is this plateau, or, you know, just north of the Himalayan, you know, just north of the Himalayas. And essentially, I've gone ahead and come up with Zog Babylon the first, the second, the third, and Zog Babylon the first was you had all this race mixing go on to where essentially Noah was a perfect generation, but they had to go ahead and flood out the very first Zog Babylon the first because of the race mixing with the demons and with the chinks and with a number of other people.
Mm.
And if you go ahead and go according to the Septuagint, it adds about 1,000 years or so, 900 or 1,000 years to what the Masoretic text upon which the Geneva Bible and the King James Perversion is based upon. That's the Masoretic text. The Septuagint goes ahead and says that 5,000 years ago, Adam was created. And I believe that he wasn't only the first, he was not the, really the first white man. He was the first white man to whom Yahweh gave a soul. I believe that the Cro-Magnons were whites who had, you know, souls. And they're going ahead pushing, they're pushing back the time when the Cro-Magnons, a white people who were a little bit taller and who had slightly bigger brains than us, but essentially they called them Homo sapiens.
Yeah.
Modern man, you know, even though it's niggers are included, it's called Homo sapiens sapiens, you know, Cro-Magnon man was called Homo sapiens.
Yeah.
And they're called Homo sapiens sapiens. And sapient means wise. So, well, but going on, I believe that around, well, anyway, dual seed line also holds is that on the sixth day, the beasts of the field were created, and the beasts of the field were the non-whites. And essentially that includes the niggers, the chinks, and the rest here, although there are some people like Wesley Swift who believe that the niggers, especially the East African niggers, were brought over from the planet Dogon or the Dog Star by Satan, who was governor of a number of worlds. And, you know, that's dual seed line. Essentially, there's a fight. There are two seed lines, one good, one evil.
Yeah.
Instead, just call it two seed line. It's called dual seed line because it brings in the concept of duality. And the concept of duality is the fight between good and evil.
Yeah.
Now, Appy, you know, I'm one of the few people who goes ahead, and when I see someone who intrigues me, you know, like Appy, like Bill Ragnall, I go ahead and I do a Wikipedia search, and I guess for all the time, years that Bill Ragnall was on, I guess I was the first one who went ahead and typed in Il Ragno and found out it meant the, it means the spider in Italian. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay. So you end up having in this movement, and Appy is an original. Now I think, you know, I know his real name. It got revealed to me by J. A. Whiteman, and I did go ahead and ask him.
Yeah.
And essentially, old Appy is just a little, you know, shit-skinned mamzer who lives in a dumpster or whatever. He runs around, and essentially he's mainly harmless, but he has Roman Catholic views.
Hmm.
And the Roman Catholic Church, according to us dual feedliners, originated in the language of Hatti from the Hittites, the old Hittites, and essentially it was the cult of Cybele, Earth Mother, you know, Earth Mother, Mother Goddess here. And essentially, they used to go ahead and make them, you know, priests used to go ahead and castrate themselves and do all sorts of good shit here. And, you know, now people are wishing that these Roman Catholic priests had castrated themselves, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But in any case, you know, so dual seed line believes that we are descended, you know, that white people of pure descent are descended from the, quote, lost, actually all 13 tribes of Israel. And people say 12 because Jacob Israel had 12 sons. But you got to understand that, yes, he did have 12 sons, but his son Joseph, the first born by his wife of choice, Rachel, had two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. And when British Israelite came over, it was a British Empire thing. So they said that they were Ephraim and the United States, the breakaway colony was Manasseh. And by far, the vast majority of Christian identity believers are offshoots of Herbert Armstrong's British Israelite Church, you know, Worldwide Church of God. And I was raised from the age of 10 to about the age of 20, pretty well sitting down on these folding steel chairs and learning about essentially Christian identity. Now, Herbert was a real piece of shit. He'd go ahead and get people not only pay first tithes, but second tithes, and third tithes, and offerings, and he'd go ahead in some cases get about close to 40% of a tard's, you know, belief here, and he'd go ahead and waste the money. He used to go ahead and talk about anointing cloths for everybody else and an oxygen tent, the penis pump for Herbert. And there was rumors that he molested one of his daughters, and essentially he would go ahead and kick and disfellowship people out. And I got to see firsthand a lot of pastoral abuse. My dad got disfellowshipped 3 times. The first time he got disfellowshipped was putting me in a hospital when I got sick, while the local minister had gone ahead and put an anointing cloth on his oldest daughter and oldest child's appendix, and she died of a ruptured appendix. You know what I mean? So here's this guy. He'd gone ahead and essentially he had to follow Herbert in order to go ahead and get a new car and a house to live in. You know, he was a hollow man who had to follow Herbert, and as a result, he sacrificed his oldest daughter, you know, to Herbert like a sort of Moloch. You know what I mean? For anointing cloth. The anointing cloth didn't do anything for a ruptured appendix. I guess the little girl didn't have enough faith. You know, I guess this minister didn't have enough faith. Mm-hmm. My dad got the fellowship because he put me in a hospital. You know what I mean? And I'm still alive today.
Yeah.
So, my dad, he'd risk, expulsion by saying stuff like at the home of another, at the funeral of another working man who died at the age of 37 and left a wife and two children behind, that $12 worth of cow penicillin could have saved that man from pneumonia.
Yeah.
And people would get, people get annoyed for my dad simply saying there's nothing wrong with using modern medical science, and I'm not talking about the psychiatric horse shit and all this other little, wild shit. Medicine has pretty well declined in many ways from a scientific view, okay?
Yeah.
But essentially, he would doctor, he would doctor his cows and his kids with a $5 bottle of Lincosin, which was essentially cow penicillin.
Yeah.
And essentially, if, none of us children dared, malinger or fake being sick here, because he'd go ahead and bring out that big old, stainless steel and glass syringe here with a needle, with a needle about way long here, about 3 inches long and about as wide as a lead pencil.
Oh, yeah.
And essentially, you'd have a sore ass for a week if he gave you a shot there.
Oh, yeah.
So, buddy, we're not sick. We're dancing. See, we're healthy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, those are the old days,
So, essentially, if you went ahead and took the shot without malingering, whining, and pissing, moaning, he'd begin to think you were a little bit sick. Actually, sick here. if you took your shot of cow Lincosin, and that's what it was called, Lincosin. And essentially, it was just cow penicillin that you go ahead and buy for $5.
Yeah, well, it's penicillin.
You know what I mean?
Huh? Yeah. It's all kind of the same in the end. It's probably penicillin still, so.
It really wasn't meant for human use, but eventually it ended up, my dad would doctor his cows and his kids, using that here.
It's funny because people think that these animal veterinary medicines aren't for human consumption, but frankly, they're the same thing. There's not much difference because, with steroids, a lot of the steroids that the people get, they say right on them, not for human consumption for animals, and they get them from veterinarians, but it's no difference. Like my dad, he's a doctor.
Well, the people with rheumatoid arthritis used to use something now, totally illegal called DMSO. Essentially, it was raised, and what made it effective is that it wasn't so much what was in it; it was the fact that essentially, if you absorb it through the skin, it goes through the entire body within about, a minute or two.
Mm-hmm.
So if you went ahead and had the carrier ointment like Bengay or wintergreen oil or something like that here, essentially you put it on your knees and go ahead and diffuse through your knees, instantly. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it was used as a horse liniment, pretty well to, cure these thoroughbreds. Essentially, the people who had rheumatoid arthritis went ahead and found out about it, and then everybody was using it, illegally, and essentially it became super illegal.
The thing that I've always, one of the things that was in this one of these books my dad had is, he's a doctor, and it said, right in the book that, do you actually think that if something, these veterinary medicines, that they put these into million-dollar race, like more than million. Like these race horses are worth $10 million. And do you think they would put something in an animal that wasn't safe for a human? There's really not much difference. The only difference
There is and there isn't. You got to understand is that a doctor of veterinary medicine is actually a real doctor.
Oh, totally, yeah.
He not only has to go ahead and figure out how to fix, cows and horses, they divide into large animals and small animals,
yes,
like dogs and cats or something like that. But essentially, This doctor is learning how to go ahead and fix the bodies, not only of just one species, but of several species, which are very much different here.
Yeah,
and actually, now I go ahead and see on the news here nowadays, dog psychiatrists or cat psychiatrists, and cat quack and cat, dog quack and cat quack.
Yeah, it's probably stop fucking molesting your dog, and your dog will probably stop having to take that Zoloft, you know?
Yeah, whatever. I mean, it's stupid shit.
Yeah,
It's a stupid notion.
Well, it's kind of like the Jewish infiltration of the medical system. You know, the medical system used to be for good white men, and, you know, it used to be good white men.
The whole idea was a profession of service. That was the impression. I mean, you had Sinclair Lewis way back in 1924 and Aerosmith going ahead, and they were society doctors who essentially were quacks, but they go ahead and essentially give these cunts a little bit of, a dose of, cocaine or something like that to go ahead and cure their hysteria or what have you. And you'd end up having a number of these people going ahead. But it used to be that a doctor would go ahead and make house calls. A doctor would go ahead and actually fix what's wrong with you. And now what I see, and Rox will go ahead and watch this stuff, watch the stupid shit about going ahead and spending millions of dollars to take care of a premature beaner, which was born 3 months early here, to Juanita, Conchita, Taco Eater, Ina, whatever, who stuck across the border, and essentially spending millions of dollars essentially on a defective, premature beaner. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, and the thing about it is that, it would be far better just to go ahead and take a hammer and beat the illegal, mamacita, in the head with a hammer and along with a premature beaner. You know what I mean? A lot cheaper, a lot better for everyone. And essentially the idea is that white people are going to go ahead and pay for that shit.
Yeah.
And that's not the case. That's not the case at all here. And what happens is that old Breckenridge, I'm going to go ahead and, change the, to why stumble in worked after a fashion and why the monkey barrel has pretty well failed here. And the reason it failed is that old Breckenridge Elkins would go ahead and get, people to come in with various views, different views, who normally hated one another. And essentially, you'd end up having to where he would maintain some sort of order to where you would have a bunch of different views here peacefully being aired and being aired very, very well. He went ahead and got Pastor John Britton, and yes, I went over somewhere. Whereas places like Four Fags Thebes essentially has always been, a bunch of Belgian Sephardic Jews.
Yeah.
Gomez, Jimbo Gomez, Stan Sturkenes, Carcass Farkas, and what the hell else here? Old Maud the Frog Flanders.
Yeah.
And you end up having, Mikey Kike, Juice Calicat, Connor, Cohen, and the rest of these people. And what they do is that they're false fronts. They're just a data mining operation. Something like that. And what happens is that old Zed let Ixenbert run wild, but, in May of 2009, 3 years ago, essentially here comes old Mikey Kike. He goes ahead and whines like a pussy about Hermans, essentially saying something about the Four Fags Thebes, and essentially, old Mikey Kike gets old Hermans banned for 2 days. And then he goes ahead and essentially calls Hermans and me a child molester.
Yeah, I know. That's funny because, I remember those, you remember back when we were like kind of net enemies at the beginning, and then I came over.
Argue with everyone.
Yeah, and then, I saw the lights, and it was just kind of like, this is bullshit, It's kind of like, I don't see any proof here. And
well, you went ahead and talked with this character called Gerald O'Brien, who was pretending to be an Aryan Nations pastor. He was a little hibernigger Catholic tard. Who supposedly got ordained in 2004, which is by Butler. And essentially, he's just a little Zogbot, and he would play at being Aryan Nations. And you have the Southern Poverty Law Center pretend that so-and-so is Aryan Nations, and the character doesn't know anything about Christian identity, beliefs, or doctrine, or anything like that here.
I am
going back 2 years and looking at shows 2 years and putting them back up on TalkShoe and putting them back on my Mamsers.org, Movement Turd, and I'm listening to old Finkelschini. Now, if I'd listened, I'd have found out that Finkelschini wasn't really Christian Day. He's just some little sort of papist preterist who believes.
Yeah, Finkelschini's on the fucking chat room right now. He's listening. So,
I'm Finkelschini. What's that?
Okay.
That's a joke name. Just like Pastor Underline Visser was a joke name.
Yeah, well, Pastor Visser, he looks like a messed out fucking. I've seen pictures of him, and he looks
he's got AIDS. He's a Mamser, not only a Mamser, he's a Melungeon. And what happens is that old shitty boob, or as I call him, Kentucky Chomo, Melungeon.
Yeah.
He's something called a Melungeon. What it is it's a mixture of Jew and Indian and nigger, and essentially it's just an evil, evil, evil Mamser.
Yeah.
And pretty well, for some reason, it's back, but every so often it gets in trouble and it disappears and takes down its webpage, takes down its forum. And generally, tonight I was trolling Finkelschini until Finkelschini went ahead and muted all the guests. Well, he went ahead and essentially muted all that. Usually I play a game called Cossack and Jew Boys, to where I'm the Cossack, going ahead and putting in barbs in the chat room here. About how they're Mamsers, how they're idiots, how they're this, how they're that, and making them, going ahead and making them fuss here. And then I was over at Eliar's, and old Son of the Mist here. Here this character is. He called himself a proud Pict until I explained what a Pict was. And a Pict was essentially a Jew, a.k.a. a Tubal Cainite, who didn't go through the flood, didn't drown in the flood, but who was in... Well, it was now Scotland in the British Isles. He was there, and he was a sort of Jew. He was a sort of a Jew here. And to go ahead and top it off here, found out, that he was an unemployed character. He had a beaner wife who works for the government. He asks about biblical polygamy, but he's not able to go ahead and attract any more than just one beaner squad at a time. And I found out that he has Crohn's disease, just like Alice Linder does.
Yeah, it's like a bleeding asshole and fucking, that shit.
Well, yeah, it's a Jew, I used to call it Jew ass cancer, but now I went ahead and looked and found out it's Jew ass gauge. He suffered. And what happens last week, one of Linder's little dothead tranny tards, who was pretending to be an Indian woman or something like that.
Yeah.
She's I'm going to go, Linder, you're just an American, you're a stupid ghost American, you don't understand anything about real religion here, you're just a, you're just a tard. And I'm going to say what everybody knows and suspects, that Alex Linder is a Jew.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't doubt it, Bam,
what happens is that the dothead tranny went ahead and got tard corralled and banned, by Alex Linder.
Yeah.
Quick enough. And now Linder is going ahead and whining for money, saying he lives off $500 a month or less. And it's hilarious. He's just running a tard corral from which he's gone ahead and banned everybody but Trader Glenn Miller and the rest of the little tards here.
Yeah.
And every so often, here comes a Jew who goes ahead and admits he's a Jew. And John did that job.
He's fucking delusional.
Well, I call him John the Nut Job.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know if he's still running for president, but he was running for president 3 years ago.
Yeah, I know, and he got his ass kicked. He didn't even come close to even...
I don't know if he's still running here in 2012. It's 2012. I don't know if he's running. I think he got kicked out of his house.
He's back to a motel now. I think, he's definitely a fag,
he a fag. He's, his actual name is John Nugent.
I think it's John Henry Nugent, I think. is his actual name.
Now, well, he used to be known as John Nugent. They claimed to be John DeNugent.
Yeah.
And way back 3 years ago, I went ahead and essentially a lot of people, the old resistance, were saying, well, look, we're so suspicious of you because you won't denounce Trader Glenn Miller and Alex Linder.
Yeah.
And at first I went ahead and asked him. And he said, well, okay, go ahead and do that. I said, okay, well, have it on your head, but you can't go ahead and get along. You can't be seen going ass to mouth with Alex Linder and Trader Glenn Miller and expect you're going to have any love among either the Order people, the Wokeness, certainly not as Christian identity.
Yeah,
and he didn't pay attention. And a month later, he got banned. He got kicked off of Sperm Front.
I know, it's hilarious.
Then he got called a faggot here over on VNNF.
Yep.
And what happens? He got called a faggot and a tard here over on Four Fag Feet.
Yeah.
Essentially, within 3 months, all these people that he was sucking dick on went in and shit on him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, that's what's beautiful.
It's sort of like Rastus Commandor, Chimp Out here. That'd be a poll. Why did Chimp Out go ahead and abandon Kane 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 6, 6 here? And
yep.
I think the reason is that he went ahead and sucked all Kane had here, He took all Kane got, and now he's leaving. Ooh, baby, don't go. Kane thought love was something to believe in. Ooh, Chimp, I don't go. There ought to be a poll here that essentially he got tired of Kane, and now he's sucking on June Stain and old Bluto Puto.
He's. It's just like I was really disappointed to see, John C. fucking Whitey now is all going on with he's a Bureau member, like he's all proud of it that he's been accepted by Juice Inc. and fucking, the whole Kike squad.
Well, you go ahead and look at it, and 2 years ago he was banned on Stumble In, he was banned on the Manzer Barrel, and then he comes back here.
Yeah.
And essentially why I went ahead and decided to go ahead and post on, Kane's forum or therealforum.co or whatever.
Yeah.
Is that, Kane's agreed not to censor me and agreed to go ahead and let me have whatever I want here.
Exactly.
I pretty well told him and Appy. Now, if I see Appy droppings on my forum here, I'm going to go ahead and put it into a tug corral thread here. But, and I did agree with old Appy being tug corral, but I don't think Appy should have been made a sub-moderator of his own little tug corral. I used to say that on StumbleIn. I used to say that on Four Fag Seeds. And here they are. They're all plotting against poor, dumb, asshole Appy because they're all tired of him.
Yeah, and now their forum's so dead now that they're wanting them back. They're trying to get them back.
Oh, are they?
Oh, yeah. You got little people like, they're fucking all, they all want you back now, Apollonian. And, so basically they realize that, what I was saying the whole time when I was trying to get Appy over at the Beer Barrel was like, the guy at least posts and threads, he keeps the forum moving, he provides some action. Instead of everyone giving the same opinion, he kind of,
It's just, to be honest with you, and that's the reason that the forum system is dying.
Yeah.
It's dying just like Yoohoo groups died.
Yeah.
From a mixture of censorship, and now it's gone ahead and, from a mixture of censorship and a mixture of essentially the ones who are able to go ahead and write are writing. They go ahead and they're writing and they're forming their own. Essentially, they're forming, if they're intellectuals, they're forming their own moderated WordPress blogs.
Yeah.
And essentially, they're getting a higher quality of post other than Maw Dick. The way, old Puto on the 26th got on there and wrote Big Chimping, and then he deleted it here. And I'm going to go ahead and open it because now he's in my subform over on StumbleIn. And I'm going to be writing here, hi, I'm Bluto/Puto. Zimmermanser, and I love to suck goy cock here, what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Then I'll go ahead and post that little thread to where essentially on the 26th he had nothing better to do than try to go ahead and all he had to do with his time was, from what I can gather, try to negrep like a tard about 100 of my posts here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And essentially, after all that freaking neg repping, essentially he went ahead and moved me from about 38,500 to 37,600. Essentially, what happens, he took an average of about 3 or 4 rep points, and I have thousands of them. And, you know, essentially, I think he decided he was going to give up on it because it wasn't getting him anywhere.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Wasn't getting him anywhere.
Well, I remember back in the day, back on Stumble In, actually, Edmund Fitzgerald came to me and was like, well, let's fucking stick nigger Pastor Visser. And that was...
Well, because Visser was a lying sack of shit. Well, what happened?
Yeah, we actually...
Then what happens, then Gelded went ahead, because he hates me and John Britton, and he went ahead and pos-ripped everything of Visser's. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And toward the end, here's Visser at the same time claiming he'll post the Stumble In or the Beer Barrel.
Yeah.
If you go ahead and look, you end up seeing where he had to, well, when he was, you know, hiding as of, September 10th, 2010, because he was trying to go ahead and get out of a stalking charge from his mother-in-law.
Yes.
Essentially, when he had said, you know, Elmer's glue works best here. Well, that didn't work. That doesn't work. It can't work. If I want to go ahead and bring it back up, I can do so. You know, same way with Puto. I'm a moderator over there.
Yeah.
Essentially, yeah, I can go ahead and screw with Puto. I can go ahead and screw with Visser. I can go ahead and put back whatever I want to. But here he is at the same time, call me a child molester, doing all this sort of stupid shit.
Yeah.
And essentially, he's just a mamzer.
Yeah.
Same way with Finkelstein. He has Brian Rio back on. Everybody knows the character is a mamzer.
Yeah.
Eli James tonight. What happens, Eli James is going ahead and banning, you know, blocking Geff for making fun of, you know, Command Dork McBragg.
Yeah.
Essentially what he is that he's just simply making sure. I mean, that's the reason I go ahead and do this sort of thing. I mean, essentially, I want these people to go ahead and censor and block and thus go ahead and contain the infection.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's why I do it over at Trinks here. I'd go ahead and put a few barbs and a few little songs. Okay, so Iowa Mask, what is data mining? Okay, what data mining is that what you can do as a, you know, you can go ahead and get on vBulletin and all these other forums, you can go ahead and get the IP number.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Okay? So you know around who these people are and around where they live.
Yeah.
And sometimes they'll go ahead and put in more, you know, personal information. So you go ahead and find out that personal information. It's very simple. Now, of course, the NSA and the rest know exactly what's going on because they don't even bother getting a subpoena. They don't even bother going through legal things. They just go ahead and they just go ahead and dump the entire thing.
Yeah.
So way back in 2006, when I was in Nut House, there was a big bunch of bitching because old Bushy went ahead and essentially, well, wiretapped the phone and the internet postings of 42 million Americans, i.e., pretty well every white guy who was on the internet, essentially, Zog was listening to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Now, can they pay attention to all that shit? No. And what they're doing is they're building a big old data mining center.
Oh, totally.
Out in Utah.
Yeah,
The whole purpose of that is that even if they can't crack this particular code, they can go ahead and crack data sent way back in, 1976 to about 1992.
Yeah.
And thus by that, they can go ahead and see what the heck was done here. And the entire purpose is a evil empire purpose to where essentially we're going to go ahead and rather than spy on somebody, we're going to go ahead and just spy on everybody. Go ahead and dump it all down. Now, Obongo said that was evil. That was evil. And the first thing he did as the new so-called primate of the United States, the first head nigger in charge, is he went ahead and passed a law going ahead and undoing all the lawsuits of people who sued under the Bush administration. He went ahead and undid 2.5 years of lawsuits. He went ahead and gave AT&T and Verizon and all these other companies absolute immunity to being sued for doing something that was illegal in the past.
Yeah.
So this is a sort of wonderful country in which we're living in Zog Babylon.
Yeah.
Where essentially the government thinks it owns you, it can go in and spy on you all it wants. It don't really give a crap about what happens to you. And that's the way it is.
Yeah.
For all the talk here.
Yeah.
But, right now the big stink is that Harold Covington was sort of invited on Kevin McDonald's blog here by one writer to go ahead, and the guy said that Harold Covington writes some pretty good books. And he does. And immediately the same old freaking wiggertards came in. Oh, he was so mean to William Pierce. He was so mean to old Benny Klassen. And that's true. He was. He went ahead and said that Benny Klassen was called him Benny Buttfleck and said he was a dirty Jew, the old self-loathing Jew who went ahead and went to a bunch of Anglo-Mestizos and went ahead and wrote him a book and told them to worship themselves. Instead of Jews worshiping themselves here, the 6 million, why, all these Whiggers and Anglo-Mestizos ought to go ahead and worship themselves. All these Mansers ought to go ahead and worship themselves. And yes, supposedly he was a faggot here. But he also went ahead and pointed out, and this is well known, Katya Lane, for everything that she said negative about Harold Covington, she said about 20 times as much negative stuff about William Pierce. And what it boiled down to was what about phone booth jurors who got $400,000 in order money and didn't help David Lane with a damn. Well, when David Lane was caught, William Pierce couldn't help them anyway. But from what I gather, Robert J. Matthews gave Pierce $400,000. And everybody knows that Pierce got the money from the order. Order armor car knockoff.
Yeah.
Why don't you think that the FBI doesn't know that? And the answer is that they knew Pierce and they used Pierce as a sort of Elohim city for creatards.
Yeah, yeah.
And you have Wiggerswill Williams and you have old Hatting, as I call him, Hatting the Meerkat or baby KAS or baby Kevin Alfred Strom.
Yeah.
And essentially, these people are whining that Covington uses sock puppets. Well, yes, he does. So
yeah.
Do I. I got one called Finkelstein. I had one called Pastor_Visser. Visser goes ahead and uses them. He's gone ahead and used the one named Seedliner to go ahead and try to get this one guy who's harmless, Keith Southworth, off. He went ahead and tried the same thing for Logan Hunter to go ahead and take down their show.
Mm-hmm.
Visser's just an evil Manser Melungeon.
Old
Shitty Boob, or as I call him, Kentucky Chomo Melungeon, or Fee Melungeon Meerkat.
Yeah.
This character acts like I've never seen a Mamser criminal before.
Oh, yeah.
I know this character is a Mamser criminal, and I ran it off. Old Allison, she was old John Britton's, one of John Britton's cousins, and she was putting on airs when John Britton was down in Brazil, flying, and when she came back, old John was saying, well, Elson's an embarrassment to me here. And
yeah.
So why don't you say that?
Yeah.
And he said, well, I'll just go ahead and say bros before hoes here.
Yeah.
He's supposed to say, Allison, you're nothing but an embarrassment to me.
Mm-hmm.
But essentially, he didn't put that, but he just said bros before hoes, and here's Allison. She's whining like a pussy. She's whining like a bitch, and then she runs off to Mutant Spermfront and joins old Maude the Fraud Flanders there.
Yeah.
And then, here's Fee Wigger Meerkat. He decides he's going to go ahead and fight with me, and here he is going to ask the mouth of Visser. And at the time, I thought Visser was allied with me, but I didn't know this. But him and Sci-Fi Faber and Hal Turner were going ahead and having an idiotic plot with Eli James to supposedly remove me as minister out of my own church.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I didn't know how the hell that was going to happen. But, this was a sort of evil, stupid, pointless shit they do. And old Feet, this character, he obviously does not have a job because he will post at 9 o'clock in the morning. He will post at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. He will post at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. He will post at 7 o'clock in the afternoon. He will post at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Essentially, here you have a Mamser criminal.
Yeah.
Well, since when, do bands or criminals who don't have a job, since when do they have money to go ahead and get on the Internet? And the answer is they don't. All I can sort of think is he's probably a sex pervert of some sort, but he's not deemed a dangerous one, so they go ahead and give him what's called a chomo check or child molester check to, make him behave.
Yeah.
Because the Supreme Court, United States Supreme Court, ruled in 2010 that essentially you can go ahead and give people civilly detain them, beyond their sense. Now, I think that's I think that's evil. I think this unconstipation is all get out, but the Supreme Court went ahead and ruled otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just a matter of court time before the Supreme Court rules that the Constitution is unconstitutional. But getting on with it, what happens, though, is that when you're civilly detaining someone, it's like going ahead and putting them in a nut house or something like that. You can't treat them and punish them like a prisoner. You've got to go ahead and essentially treat them like somebody who is, who ends up having a lot better treatment because he's not to be punished. He's just to be detained. Mm. And as such, he ends up going ahead and getting to live in a structured lifestyle beyond what he normally would be able to take care of.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Fulton State Nut House used to have, 3,500 nuts? Used to be if you're just a little nuts here and your family wanted to get rid of it, they go ahead and put you there. And they put the nuts to work and they have them run a dairy farm. They have them go ahead and grow the food. I mean, I heard tales from 30 years ago to where they had their own dairy. They'd have T-bone steaks on Friday.
Oh, yeah.
They were talking about if you had nuclear war with Russia, that the Jefferson City would go up 25 miles up the road to Fulton, and they would go ahead and hide in all the tunnels here and all the buildings, and essentially they'd put the nuts double to a room and then go ahead and put all the bureaucrats, in the communal rooms here in case there was a nuclear war or what have you. And what they did is that as more and more people in this country became more and more nutty, it went from, when I was born, 1 in 6, had a mental illness, to 1 in 4 when I was a young adult, to where, when I was sent to the nut house, I went ahead and listened to CNN, to where psychiatrists say that, better than half the American population is fucked up in the head.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, nah, that's a wrong figure. As I can tell, 3/4 of y'all fucked up in the head here. And I used to tell psychiatrists that schizophrenia is caused by Peter Duncan. And they say, Peter Duncan? Who's Peter Duncan? And I said, Peter Duncan is not a who, it's a what.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's a what. But, no, the population's gotten downbred. The population's got dumber. Old Krieger. I used to call him Banzer and sort of Manzer.
Yeah, he's a funny guy. Yeah, yeah, Krieger.
Oh, he was a tard. He was a tard.
Yeah, that's what made him.
Well, he was a total lying tard. I think I was the first one who figured out, okay, Banzer, Manzer. I looked at your profile because I always do opposition research, and essentially said he was 48 years old.
Yeah.
Well, here I was 51, and essentially the last of the Vietnam, last of the Vietnam War things was in 1976 when I was 1975 when Ford was president, and it was the last operation of the Vietnam Army, the storming of the Mayaguez. And here, and I was 16 at the time. So short, Krieger, he's 3 years younger than me. Well, he was a Vietnam War vet. Well, hell, he must have been a Vietnam War vet at the age of 8 or 9. And I went ahead and called him on that. I went ahead and called the math. Well, how can you be 47 years old and a veteran of the Vietnam War?
Exactly.
And then people went ahead, they made things about, he's Rambo Krieger, Bam. I call them Bamser the Mamser. And, he'd whine like a pussy. I'd go ahead and call these four fag thieves, one of them. He called her now Princess, Eugenie or whatever here. But she used to have a different name here, and for my girl, she was a Croat mud shark. Essentially, I said she was a whore servicing the French and the German clientele here. And so it got to where I got kicked off out of highbrow. Then I got kicked out of the help section, and I started calling Four Fag Siebes the Junibrow Tanning and Tweezing Salon here for Four or Fag Thieves here. And I think I came up with the term Four or Fag. And now even they refer to themselves as Four or Fag Thieves. But what they've done is that they've essentially, people who used to go ahead and make, all it is pseudo-intellectuals and essentially balkanoid mamsers and tards and idiots and that's all it is here. And, Il Ragno is pretty well a first-class writer, but the rest of them, are just simply just tards.
Yeah.
They're just Maud Dickers. That's all they are. And so they're trying to get Appy back to go to the Banzer Barrel.
Yeah.
Well, the
funny thing I really find with Pastor Visser or Mamzer Visser is he fucking has like this piece of toilet paper. It looks like that's, from jail. Some guy wrote in jail, and it's like, well, here's this piece of toilet paper. It has that states I'm the real priest in the DSCI or whatever movement. And it's like, well, you know, you got the piece of toilet paper, you know, that some guy in jail wrote, and really, how can you prove that, you know, Pastor Lindstedt communicated?
What happens is that Galette, Visser is such a retard, he doesn't understand really Christian identity. What he is, he's just a Mamzer, and he acts like a Mamzer. He's not only just an ordinary Mamzer, he's a Melungeon, which means he has some Jew in him.
Oh, yeah. Well,
Brian Wright. Brian Wright, he has slant eyes, He has slant eyes like a gook here, but he also has Crohn's disease. Oh, yeah. I mean, essentially, if you have Crohn's, that means you have a Jew in your woodpile, genetic woodpile somewhere.
Yeah.
And Alex Linder got Crohn's, Jew-ass gates. And essentially, everybody on VNNF probably thinks that Linder's a Jew. But being Jews themselves here, they want to go ahead and keep the Tard Corral going here. And essentially, VNNF here, Alex Linder, went ahead and testified against Bill White on December 15th, 2009.
Yeah.
That's what he did. That is what he did. And then in order to go ahead and cover it, well, Greg Johnson is a homosexual. Well, Greg Johnson is a homosexual. He's an intellectual homosexual who lives, well, in San Francisco, where he belongs, as far as I'm concerned. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway, old Greggy went ahead and censored me because he's trying to go ahead and sell this little hagiography of William Pierce. But the problem with Pierce is that essentially he was bought and paid for $400,000. He didn't go ahead and make this $400,000 from all these tars. No, he got it from the order. And what he did is that he just, when it came down to it, he sort of pussied out here.
Yeah, yeah.
He just ran an Elohim city for creators, and essentially Zog knew exactly what the hell was going on. And essentially, he was allowed to run wild here, and essentially you end up having Wiggersquill. I'm pretty sure he's a Zog bot.
Yeah.
Hadding, he's just another little, Hadding's not only against Covington, he's shitting on Edgar Steele. And the reason he's shitting on Edgar Steele is that Edgar Steele, 2007, said something mean about Kevin Alfred Strom. Kevin Alfred Strom was a self-admitted convicted pervert.
Yeah, yeah. And Edgar,
you know what I mean?
Steele came out and was like, hey, you know, this is the whole problem with you fucking white mamzers, you white nationalist morons, that you fucking accept pedophiles.
I think he was over mean to Deidre, Fields here. I went ahead and looked at it. And essentially, old Deidre Fields, Joe Fields. I didn't have the money to fight this here. And essentially, old Edgar went ahead and treated her pretty nasty. You know what I mean? And now old Cindy, she's in the same position the old Deidre is.
Yeah.
But the thing about it is, I don't go ahead and champion Edgar Steele. In 2004, he sent me his book, Defense of Racism. He wrote it to Martin Lindstedt, who shows a character counts with honest review. I went ahead and wrote him an honest review. I said, well, look, Edgar, your book is good for whipping up wiggers, but for me, I mean, it doesn't really matter. Essentially, rather than whip up wiggers and call for civil war, but then stop short of going ahead and advocating it, i.e., the revolution starts when the jackbooted thugs kick down my door, but not when they start kicking down your door. When they kick down my door, and I just said, look, folks, I'm going with the flow of history. Essentially, this mighty evil empire, like all the other ones, is going to collapse. And since it is actually Zog Babylon third and final, it's going to lead to a great tribulation to where you end up having 120 million dead Wiggers, 170 million dead Muds and Jews, and essentially nothing more than maybe 10 million or less white people ruled by about 10,000 warlords. And essentially, I'm going after the white warlords to pretty well tell them to go ahead and skin out all the pigs and all the other criminals.
Yeah.
And April 9th. I mean, you know, I get especially bloodthirsty this time of year because that's when my grandkids were stolen. You know, it's past the 8th. You know, I pray for them every time here.
Yeah.
Essentially, what happens, I got sent to the nut house because I refused to allow a public pretender to misrepresent me.
Yeah.
And what they wanted to do was that they wanted to go ahead and use that. Well, he got a lawyer, so therefore we get to go ahead and have his little retarded grandson go ahead and do a videotape to where he's claiming that, you know, while we have control of him, essentially have the public pretender go ahead and pretend to defend me and don't do a damn job.
Yeah,
he
that's kind of
fun. Let's make a deal.
Throw you to the
wall. By insisting of me going ahead, essentially I could go ahead and confront my grandson.
Yeah.
And, folks, this was established law in 2005 in Washington, you know, Crawford versus Washington. Now, I think it's gone the other way to where essentially you can't go ahead and take down tapes about how someone went ahead and called the domestic abuse hotline here, you know, for some guy who goes ahead and allegedly murders his wife. I think it went too far. But essentially what it did, Crawford versus Washington overturned the 1980s Roberts versus Ohio rule to where, do you know what hearsay is?
Hearsay, yeah, it's fucking...
What is hearsay then?
It's basically bullshit. Like, it's...
You can't prove it. Essentially, you have a right to go ahead and confront whoever is against you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Not go ahead and have a videotape made by the Department of Family Services and their bureaucrats, and essentially when your chicken shit lawyer is playing, you know, well, I'm just here playing on my bud. Can we make a deal?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, no. To confront whoever is accusing you in open court as opposed to having some confidential informant go ahead and lie about you and you don't get to face them.
Yeah.
And essentially, you know, Crawford versus Washington rightfully did away with quote hearsay. It's supposed to go ahead, if there's a witness against somebody, that witness has to go ahead and appear and say, I've seen them do this, I've seen them do that, I've seen them do this, I've seen them do that. And essentially have the accused go ahead and put the accuser, you know, on edge. Supposedly the Anglo-Saxon trial, it's not the civil law system, it's the common law system, to where someone has a right to face their accuser. You know what I mean? And the whole purpose is for the truth to come out. Well, the truth does not come out. It's hidden. It's altogether lies, and pretty well the common law court system has turned into just nothing but Jews and lawyers going ahead and setting up people and doing whatever the hell they want to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, and people say, well, you know, I know how to go ahead and end this. I know how to cut the Gordian knot. Essentially, if you're a pig, you are a criminal. You need to die.
Yeah.
And I will tell these people,
hey,
well, you destroyed my family. I don't want your money. I want you to go ahead and eat your son's nuts. I want to go ahead and skin your kids out. I want to go ahead and ground them into send them through a wood chipper. Feet first.
Yeah.
I want to go ahead and make you eat your spawn.
Yeah.
Essentially, I don't care, pig. I do not care whether or not you want to play the game that I need to go ahead and demonstrate to your satisfaction that you're a regime criminal and a traitor. And, you know, people look upon me as I'm a nut. Well, no. That's the one thing, you know. I go ahead and I see in the white nationalist movement essentially nothing but Zogbots and Mamzers and Jews.
Yeah, and this is how I became, you know, I gained the respect to you, was just, you know, become so disillusioned with the white nationalist movement as realize this is total bullshit, and then to see
it's
you.
It's total bullshit.
Like,
it's liars. It's thieves. It's trolls. It's idiots.
And that's when I started.
I told Edgar Steele, I called him the Wigger Whimper. I said, Edgar, have you ever heard of The Horse Whisperer? You know, that movie with Robert Redford. There was a book about it, Robert Redford, The Horse Whisperer.
Yeah.
Well, Edgar, you're the Wigger Whimperer.
Yeah.
Essentially, you're just running around and encouraging these figures to go ahead and whine like pussies. Let me tell you what the white nationalist movement consists of. Two things. The first is, we're going to want, you know, the Jews got all powerful because they claimed the Holocaust. They claimed to be victims. So let's go ahead and whine like we're a bunch of pussies and hope that the Jews and the niggers are going to go ahead and let us live.
Mm-hmm.
You fucking idiots. You fucking idiots. And
yeah.
Durant, you know, Durant, he's a Zogmont. He, you know, he went ahead, you know, this, or he goes ahead, he takes a picture of a card with a honeybee on it.
Yeah.
And essentially, I went ahead and told him, well, don't impute, you know, any gayness to it. It's just that what happens, this is my first week in jail. I'm only allowed to buy so many envelopes, so many stamps.
Yeah.
But what happens, I can go ahead and get around that by buying three cards. And here, you know, here's one with a sheet of notebook and I can go ahead and send it to you. And I found out that Butler had gone ahead, or not Butler, but Glenn had gone ahead and ordained me and Pastor John Britton as ministers, full-fledged pastors. And then here's this Joe Johnson, he's whining like a pussy. Well,
yeah.
You know, when Galette got ahead and, you know, Galette was drunk as a skunk. He was going ahead with some little mamzer named Scott Charles Thornton from Alabama, and they were plotting to rob banks. Not for the benefit of the church, but for Bolivian nose candy. Morris Galette is a drunken crackhead. He got kicked out of the Aryan Nation several times.
Yeah.
He got kicked, you know, out of Ray Redfern's church.
Yeah.
And, you know, pretty well I find out Visser and Brian Wright are plotting to go ahead and steal Galette's $400,000 trust fund from him. I go ahead and warn him. And essentially Galette went ahead and betrayed me. You know, so, well, I'm kicking my, I don't think he's a child molester, but, oh, he's a wild man. He believes in killing people.
Mm-hmm.
Killing people. Well, Galette, I mean, don't you believe in the Great Tribulation? Don't you believe the Great Tribulation is going to be the only way to solve things? Don't you believe that essentially the apocalypse, where essentially, you know, millions and millions and millions of underbred mamzers and Jews and stupid wiggers die? Don't you believe that essentially the book of Revelations, don't you go ahead and believe Revelations 4 through chapter 18, ending with the financial collapse of Zog Babylon, and we have Revelations chapter 19 with Jesus Christ coming back, and there being so much bloodshed that the blood flow rises to the bridle of the horses,
yeah,
you know, about 4 foot of blood and gore. Don't you believe that, Galette? Well, the answer is Galette. Don't really believe it. Galette, you know, I mean, and I say Galette's church twice. First, by going ahead and begging John Britton to take it over when he'd made a freaking mess of it. He'd gone ahead and given, you know, his form, his webpage to a Rick Spring cutout who went ahead and took it down. He went ahead and gave it to Joe Johnson, and Joe Johnson told me that whatever was his, would remain his, and whatever was Galette that he could pry off would be his too. And essentially, here you are, mamzers and liars and tards, and essentially above ground Christian identity is nothing but wall to wall mamzers and Jews.
Yeah.
That's all it is. That's all it is.
Yeah.
Eli Jennings, he's a fucking Jew. Brian Rio is just a nigger lit, unibrowed, shit skinned, slant eyed mamzer.
Yeah.
You know, Finkelschini. He's another little Ashkenazi Jew here, criminal, and a papist preterist here. Essentially, he believes the, you know, you know what preterism is?
Preterism, I assume it's, you know, basically your predator.
It's a belief that prophecy has been fulfilled.
Okay.
And it was not believed until, you know, it was not even believed by the Roman Catholic Church until 1619, when the Order of the Jesuits, you know, Saint Ignace Loyola came up with the notion that we would say that essentially the millennium has already occurred and Satan was put into a pit by the Roman Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you know, the Roman Catholic Church was not able to go ahead and send Alaric the Visigoth, you know, into the pit. He went ahead and sacked Rome in 410. Certainly not Kaiseric the Visigoth or Vandal. He went ahead and sacked Rome in 429.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly not, you know, Attila the Hun, who went ahead and sacked Rome, I think at what, 451? essentially, you know, certainly not Dietrich of Bern or Theodoric the Ostrogoth. We weren't able to go ahead and put all them people, you know, do anything about the Gauls, the, you know, the Visigoths, the Vandals, you know, the Huns. But essentially, they put Satan into a pit for 1,000 years, from 500 to 1,500, and then Satan got turned out. And, you know, pretty well what happens is now these northern Protestants are no longer, because of Reformation, they're no longer sending Peter Pence and Peter to Rome no more. And, oh, no, we got to go ahead and get these productive white people get back into the Roman Catholic Church.
Yep.
So they came up with this crap at the Roman Catholic Church and put Satan into a pit, and the millennium was from 500 to 1500.
Yeah.
Martin, you know, and then Martin, you know, then Satan got turned loose, and Martin Luther went ahead in 1550 and tacked his, what, 95 theses, you know, onto the
biography on Martin Luther.
And essentially, the English, the Swedes, the Northern Germans were not buying this shit.
Yeah.
But that's where preterism come from, is that most of the prophecy has already been fulfilled, especially the prophecy about the millennium, because the Roman Catholic Church had already done that.
Yeah.
And you end up having Eli James, and you end up having Finkelstein, you end up having Clifton Nemeiser go ahead and talk about this crap here, and now they call themselves historicists here, you know, because they don't dare call themselves preterists.
Yeah.
Because essentially, you know, people know preterism essentially is, sort of like where people used to go ahead and call it quota system. Then they call it affirmative action. Now they call it what? Disparate affirmations or whatever. Essentially, once it got known for what it was by the old name, they had to change the name here. So they're calling it historicism rather than call it preterism. But that's what it is, nevertheless. And that's what, you know, I mean, you know, Eli James's show, nothing but Jews, you know, a few Jews. You know, Finkelstein's show, nothing but Jews and Mamzers and transsexuals and, you know, all sorts of vermin. And, you know, you don't end up having any of the white people.
Yeah.
And, you know, real white people. I mean, real white people who know what they're talking about.
Exactly.
And, no, that's what it is here. Over on Monkey Barrel, why, the first victim that they went ahead and picked was poor old Breckinridge Elkins.
Yeah.
And then they went ahead and picked Appy. And essentially, I had 3 months. Since I had 4 months of essentially being called a child molester, child molester, child molester, child molester.
Yeah.
And essentially, well, what happens when Brian Real went ahead and took down the webpage here? You know, old Jay went ahead and banned me and went ahead and deleted every single one of my posts. I had about, what, about 300 posts. Essentially,
yeah.
They went, you know, they disappeared.
It's
disappeared.
Funny. Disgusting, you know, it's total disregard for the First Amendment.
Well, you know, they didn't give a shit for free speech.
Exactly.
And then what happens is they could have gone ahead, once King went ahead and had taken down, they could have restored it from February. I mean, these people didn't even bother going ahead and using the V-Bulletin thing to go ahead and save the app, you know, to go ahead and save the database.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I've been kicked off because of little Brian Rio and Eli James. I've been kicked off of a lot of servers.
Yeah.
You know, and this is what gets me. You end up having over on Voice of Retards, you have these great Paul Fromm, lawyer, defender against censorship. Well, this little cocksucker, Brian Rio, went ahead and got me taken down in French Canada, you know, Canada, from iWeb. And he goes on to the Brian Rio and Finkelstein show. He essentially justifies me being censored.
Yeah.
Well, look, you lie, cocksucker.
Yeah.
You don't believe, you're not against censorship. You're against censorship for your buddies, but not for me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Two days ago, old Matt Parrott went ahead and censored one of my posts, making fun of Pierce, making fun of Wiggerswill, making fun of Hadding. And, you know, here you are, Kevin McDonald. Do you go ahead and support censorship or not? If the answer is that, yes, you do support censorship, well, hey, case closed.
Yeah.
You know, all I have to ask you, Kevin McDonald, is how is censorship real bad when Jews do it? And why is it so evil? You know, why is it so good when Uyghurs do it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There are people bitching to me because you're on Cain's forum here.
Yeah.
Well, I thought, well, shit, yes, Cain is a sort of fucked up Jew boy, and I've always said that here. But on the other hand, Kane isn't the one doing censoring here.
Exactly.
He
exactly.
Was the monkey ball doing it
here.
You know, I mean, I do believe that Appy should have been, you know, put in his own card corral so people didn't want to eat any Appy shit, didn't have to. But he should have gone ahead and been king of his own card corral.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Okay,
and,
Pastor, I hate to cut you off, but I really got to get going because there's this there's this
fair
by the mall, and it's about 10:30, and a lot of the, you know, the young teen runaways are going to need a place to stay, a warm place for the night, and being a good Christian.
Don't do anything, they'll get you in trouble, okay?
Oh, no, you know, I'm just doing the good Christian thing and offering these runaways, you know.
Anyway, I'm glad to go ahead. Happy, you know, I mean, I've tried to tell Happy what Christian Identity is.
Yeah.
He goes so far, and then what happens? He'll run off here. And,
yeah.
You know, essentially, Happy, you know, Happy is just a delusional mamzer who's full of shit. Do you know where the word Apollonian comes from?
Yeah, it's Apollonian and Dionysus or whatever.
I think I went ahead and told people that here.
Yeah.
Essentially, though, is in his own way, Appy's, you know, far more of a Dionysian here than he is an Apollonian here, as far as I'm concerned. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead, and I'm glad you learned how to tape record this.
Yeah.
And essentially, I'll go ahead and probably put it as a, you know, portion of the Movement Turd.
Awesome.
And I'll go on over to Old Peter's Good Mamzer Show next year.
Yeah, that's a dream come true for me, be part of the Movement Turd.
Huh?
I said it's a dream come true for me to be part of the Movement Turd.
Well, you can go ahead and call tomorrow. Go ahead and call in tomorrow. It's probably might be a little bit late. I start about 8:15. Usually, I go ahead and have a monologue for about 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Then I go ahead and allow people to go ahead and call in. My show is 111. You know, 4 1s, 3 2.
Yeah,
and,
you just put the link up in your forum there, and I'll find it.
It's called the Dick Show, because I'm Dick Relton, get it? I'm Dick Relton.
Okay, so I got to get going, though, for real.
All right, well, hail victory, and you have a good one, okay?
Okay, God bless. And we'll talk next week on the broadcast next Saturday. Okay.
Right,
this is Jacob Israel signing off, and Pastor Martin, the DSCI, the true DSCI, and we're signing off. So everyone, long live death, 819, and we'll talk to you next broadcast. Bye-bye.